call the meeting to order of the Board of Examiners, Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assistant Living Facility Managers. This is the regular board meeting, December 13, 2021. The board's mission is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the public who seek and use the services of the Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assistant Living Facility Managers. During the course of the meeting, the board with a majority vote of the quorum of the members may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice. And the board's attorney or hint on any matters listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38431-0383. And for the purpose of discussion or consideration of confidential material pursuant to ARS 38431-0382. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential and you must refer to a resident by their initial or resident. Call to order. Roll call, please.
President Campbell.
Present.
Dr. Villafranca.
Present.
Member Kidder.
Here.
Member Randolph. Member Siemens.
Present.
Member Archer.
Here.
Member Stevens.
Present.
Thank you. That completes our roll call. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm very pleased to introduce to you Rich Stevens, who is our elderly advocacy representative from Prescott, and we welcome you to the board. Rich, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Declarations of conflict of interest. Does a board member have a declaration at this time on any agenda item?
Okay. I need to recuse from item 6C, Anna Estrade, number case number 21-33.
6B?
6C.
6B.
Case 44.
One of the formals.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, I was up there wrong. Okay, thank you very much. All right, that's board member Archer. All right, is there any other declaration of conflict of interest? Okay, comments to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form so that the board is aware that they are here and that they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38431-02H, the board can discuss or take action only on matters that are listed on this agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for further discussion at a future board meeting. Is there anyone present in the audience this morning that wishes to address the board on any subject matter not listed on today's agenda? Hearing none. There is not. May I please ask that everyone that's on the phone mute your phone, and two, everyone present, please mute your cell phone if you have not done so. Review, discussion, and possible action of approval of minutes. We will now take you have the minutes of the November 15th regular board meeting, and I will now entertain a motion to adopt those minutes.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the minutes for November 15th, 2021 regular meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved by Dr. Villafranca and seconded by Board Member Archer that the November 15th regular meeting minutes be approved. Roll call.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Excuse me, point of order, Mr. Member Stevens was not at the last meeting, so we'll just skip.
Oh, I'm sorry.
President Campbell.
Aye. Motion is carried. We'll move to item number six, formal administrative hearings. We will move to case A, Marina Fox. Consent agreement on motion to deem allegations admitted.
Is Manager Boggs present at the meeting today? Or a legal representative? Thank you.
There's someone signing in.
How do you want to sit like?
All your stuff there, I'm happy to sit down here if you'd rather do your thing.
Yes.
There was an email that you sent that requested a phone conference.
All right, are we ready to proceed now?
Yes.
All right. This is the date, time, and place for the matter dealing with Marina Fox, complaint number 19107. Is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. Will the parties identify themselves if they are present, first with the state and then with the respondent? Starting with the state.
Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan here for the state.
Is the respondent Marina Fox present today? Please let the record note that she is not present. The state has filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing is admitted. If granted, the board will treat all allegations in the complaint and the notice of hearing as true and move directly to the determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of these violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about its request, and then the respondent can address the board. Please address your remarks to the issue of whether you received the complaint or notice of hearing and why you did not timely answer. But she is not present to make that that answer. So the state will now make the presentation, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, members of the board. Madam President, members of the board. This is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. This case came before you back, I believe, in December of 2020. At that time, you substantiated the violations and you offered a consent agreement. And that consent agreement was signed. However, the terms of the consent agreement were not complied with. I came back before the board again, in which you amended and reoffered the consent agreement. The consent agreement again was not complied with, and therefore board investigator, who is no longer with the board, requested that we move this to a formal hearing for failure to comply with the board order. The original complaint notice of hearing for this matter went out on March 24th, 2021, set for the board's June 14th meeting. The matter was continued due to procedural issues with the board, and she was re-noticed again, I believe it was October 26th. And just for the record, the March 24th, 2021 certified mail received for the complaint notice of hearing was received and signed for by Ms. Roulette. She was also sent on October 26, 2021. Yes?
It was received and signed for, you just said, by Ms. Roulette?
I'm sorry, Ms. Boggs. Oh. Ms. Boggs. I was messing up my cases. Thank you. So the board then sent out a notice of the complaint notice of hearing with the original complaint notice of hearing attached on October 6, 2021. The respondent had until November 30th of 2021 to respond, and we did receive, I believe, a response, and board executive director can clarify, in December, shortly after her response was due, in which the respondent indicated that they would not be attending, but there was no substantive answer. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so the board requests that you admit, you deem the allegations and admit them as they are found in the board's complaint notice of hearing and take actions you see fit.
All right. At this time, the board will deliberate and rule on the state's motion. We can begin with the general discussion or move to motions. And the first motion would be to determine whether to grant the state's motion. Now, we have had this on since last December. It's gone for a year. She did request a telephone conference. However, every time we've said this, it's been moved to, it's been redone. And we need to make a determination in this case and not going to keep continuing. So what is the...
Madam President, I move that the board grant the state's motion and deem the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing admitted.
Is there a second?
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that the state's motion be deemed the allegation in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. Roll call.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion is carried. Motion is granted. All right, did we do the final discipline now?
Yes.
Thank you. The final issue for determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of the fact and conclusion of law we have adopted. We will allow the parties to briefly address the issue, first the state, then the respondent, and the state's presentation, please. We need to have another motion. Attorney General. The board has deemed the allegation in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. Is there a motion to adopt the factual allegations and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from this complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusion of laws?
Madam President, I will move that the board adopt the factual allegations and allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded that the board has deemed the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing is admitted, and that they adopt the factual allegations and allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing of its findings of fact and conclusion of law. The final issue for determination is
You need a vote on that, Madam President. All in favor, or you can do a roll call if you're doing roll call because the votes are telephonic.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed?
I think we should do a roll call on this one because the three of us on the phone.
It's board discretion. You can do a roll call sometimes because folks are telephonic. It's a little easier to record the vote.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Attorney General. Go ahead. We'll have a roll call.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
And President Campbell?
Aye. Motion is carried. Now, the final issue for determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of fact and conclusion of law as we have adopted. We will allow the parties to briefly address that issue, first the state, then the respondent.
The state has nothing to say.
All right. The respondent is not present, so therefore we will now deliberate on the appropriate discipline to be imposed. The board may consider the following action pursuant to ARS 3644-4607. Dismiss the case if in the opinion of the board, The information is without merit. Issue a letter of concern. Issue a degree of censure. Order of probation with specific terms and conditions. Impose a civil penalty in the amount of not more than $500 per violation, a suspension, or revocation.
Madam Chair, Madam President, as you had mentioned and pointed out earlier, this has been an ongoing case. We have given multiple opportunities for this individual to come into compliance. It would appear that we are not able to regulate this certificate holder. I would move for a revocation.
Is there a second?
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that a revocation be issued. Roll call.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion is carried. Thank you. This concludes the proceeding. The board's decision will be based to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. Thank you for attending today. Our second formal administrative hearing is case number 20109, Janice Relev.
Can I just leave the meeting to wait until 10 a.m. because that's when it was scheduled for?
Oh.
Or the, I believe the Anna Estrada matter was scheduled for 9:30.
So, Mr. Monahan, I am having, where are you seeing the 10 o'clock? Did she receive a separate letter?
It's in the letter that was accompanying the complaint notice of hearing.
Okay, I apologize.
It's the second paragraph down.
All right, so you would like us to go to the consent agreement first?
Yes, please.
Well, but that one was scheduled for 9:30.
Yes.
It's 9:21.
Yes, so we would have to wait. We can go to our regular agenda and then jump back.
All right, thank you very much. And we will move to case number, complaint number 2134. Mark Lawrence, are you present?
I am present.
Please come forward, please.
Yeah, you can just stay over there.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning. This is complaint number 2134, Mark Lawrence. Would you, the parties present, please identify yourselves?
Mark Lawrence.
And my name is Jennifer Wasserman. I'm with Core Law, Care Law.
Do you mind removing your mask far enough from us that it's hard to understand what you're saying?
Jennifer Wasserman with Care Law representing Mr. Lawrence.
All right, thank you. That we will proceed.
Good morning. Good morning, Madam President and board members. This is complaint 2134. The licensee is Mark Lawrence, who, along with his attorney, Jennifer Wasserman, is present at today's meeting. On April 29th, 2021, board staff initiated a complaint investigation after receiving a complaint through the board's online portal. The complaint was submitted by the daughter of two residents at Oakmont Assisted Living, located in Scottsdale, Arizona. The allegation included, but are not limited to, resident is afraid of Mrs. Mark Lawrence. While the complainant was visiting her parents, she observed a stage 2 bed sore on her mother. When the complainant emailed Mr. Lawrence inquiring about her parents, Mr. Lawrence forwarded her emails to her brother rather than responding to her. The complainant's mother has not seen her regular doctor in over 3 years, and her Parkinson's medication has not been regulated since living at the facility. The facility's doctor is not a Parkinson's doctor, but is very good at prescribing more pills. The complainant's parents are kept isolated and sedated at the facility. Mr. Lawrence was notified of the complaint and he did file a written response. Mr. Lawrence is here today to discuss the complaint with the board.
All right, Mr. Lawrence, would you like to present?
I'd like to just make an opening statement. We did provide, circulate some information for the board's consideration. It was provided a little bit late, but because one of the key things was an affidavit from the power of attorney for the complainant's parents who are both residents of Oakmont. The complainant did do a direct complaint online. The complainant also filed complaints with ABS, with DHS. Both of those organizations had performed investigations, including on-site investigations. They deemed the allegations, which are the same as those here, to be unsubstantiated. The complainant actually also presented a trust document to Mr. Lawrence and indicated that she was co-trustee of the estate. We have in the packet an affidavit of a licensed attorney in Arizona that indicates that the trust document that the complainant submitted was a fraudulent document. So we are concerned about the veracity of these allegations submitted via email, which have been unsubstantiated by other state agencies. What we're dealing with here is essentially a disgruntled sibling because of estate issues with her brother, who is the bona fide POA. The bona fide POA not only admitted his mother to Oakmont at one point in time when his father was, admitted the mother, I'll let Mr. Lawrence say, I believe it was
on 2017.
November 2017, discharged in 19 to join
her husband.
And
discharged.
We need to hear from you.
That's what I'm gonna turn it over to him.
You're the one that is here today.
Yes, I understand. Thank you, Madam President. We're dealing with a husband and wife. So the wife was admitted in 2017, continued her residency until early 2019, when she went to a community to join her husband, the husband wanting to live in a community. After a few months, just 4 months, the family, the power of attorney, determined that the community was not the best setting for the wife, because her care needs exceeded those that the facility could provide. So they both moved back into the Oakmont in June of 2019, continued their residency until the wife passed away in August of 2021, and their power of attorney residing in Los Angeles moved his father, the husband, to Los Angeles to live with him in August of 2021.
So the POA did not live in the same city where his parents were being housed?
That's correct.
He was out of state.
That's correct.
So he was not coming into the facility regularly to check on those.
He was visiting twice a month, and those visits would be 4 nights, sometimes 5 nights. About every other week he was in town. That's the son who is the power of attorney.
So I read this case, and alarms were going off in my head whenever I read it. I would have to agree with your attorney. This sounds to me as though she has presented you fraudulent documents. And to me, you present fraudulent documents. I can't believe another word that you say. It sounds like there are sibling rivalries in this matter, and that multiple agencies have come in and unsubstantiated every single one of these complaints that the daughter has raised against the facility and you. I don't see anything. I really don't. I think that you just are caught in the middle because you're following what the legitimate POA is asking you to do. The legitimate POA, who was coming out seeing the parents, actually decided to continue and move another parent in based on the level of care that you were providing at the time. I don't see a case against you. I don't.
I have a question. Is Ms. Christina Stone here today? Did we hear from her whether she would be attending the proceeding today or not?
No.
Okay, thank you.
I'm curious, did you or your attorney turn over the fraudulent documents? Because if she presented those documents to you, is she presenting it to a bank to take money out of the parents' accounts?
What I can share with you is what I know. Neither sure. My attorney or I turned those documents over, but the son, the power of attorney, received copies of those documents, and he turned them over to his attorney.
Sure.
And also, the daughter, Mrs. Sohn, attempted to use those documents to remove the son as representative payee and place herself as representative payee, and that was discovered and corrected.
Sounds like she was more interested in the financials than the actual care.
I would agree with your assessment.
Well, it's still concerning to have someone who is coming into the facility to make allegations, and if they're there and they see what's going on every day as a member of the family, I just feel that while they may not be the POA, I think there is a moral obligation to try to talk to them and see, let them see what a good job you're doing or not doing. You can't, just because they're not the POA, that doesn't mean you can't talk to them and show that or perhaps review what they're saying. They must have made the complaint to you to begin with. Did they not?
Madam President, no, they did not. The daughter lives out of state in Salt Lake City, and she would visit 3 or 4 times a year for about 24 hours.
So she would come in, check her parents, and then think that things were not being taken care of to her satisfaction, and she would go back and then make these allegations. Is this what you're swearing to?
I can't speculate to what was on her mind. I know she was estranged from her brother, and to me it appeared to be a family feud over control.
Well, it could be, but what's at stake here is the parents. Whether the siblings are fussing or fighting or whatever, that's a whole different thing. What we are concerned about, the care of those parents, were they being cared for? Did they have bed sores? Were they being drugged? Were they being isolated? Were they getting the very best care that they possibly could get in your facility? That's what we need to know. And we need to know that you were involved in all of this somehow.
Yes, I'm there Monday through Friday. I can tell you that they were getting excellent care. The power of attorney decided not only once, but twice to move his family in there and remain there for almost 4 years. I can tell you that the Department of Health and APS investigated these exact complaints and found that our care was good and without issue.
Okay. Did they actually come to on site?
Yes, and okay. Each of the 3 complaints to the Department of Health were on site, and all of the APS investigations were on site, including Mr. Smith from your board came and did an on site
yes,
investigation
Mr. Smith
as
would,
well.
Yes, as our investigator, he would have done that.
Yes.
The female, I would ask Mr. Lawrence to talk about also the hospice care that was provided, that was constantly caring for the female resident in his home.
The mother.
Yeah.
The mother.
Okay. Excuse me just a moment. Yes.
May I ask a quick question or
yes,
two?
Yes, you may.
I've read the initial complaint and the allegations, and one of them that kind of stuck out in my mind was the bed sore allegation from February 8th of 2021. Can you respond to that?
Yes, she would, it was in my response to you, and I have it right here. In December of 2020, we identified the presence of a wound on the resident. Those were documented, communicated to the power of attorney, the husband who was present, primary care physician, and the hospice provider. We received treatment orders and proceeded to provide treatment for that wound.
So how did the bed sore occur?
No one can really say. We've asked the physicians that. We asked the hospice nurses that. There was concerned that it could be what is called a KTU, which is a Kennedy tunneling ulcer. The ulcers that begin inside the body because of poor nutrition, lack of protein and amino acids, which she suffered from.
And not being moved?
And not necessarily being moved, but not visible from the outside until they erupt through the skin.
Okay. And one just follow-up question. You said that APS was in there several times, and they sent you some sort of notification that said your care was good?
They responded with a letter, multiple letters, dismissing the complaints to the power of attorney, which we have copies of.
Thank you. I thought I misheard you. Thank you.
I do have a question. The power of attorney, the son, did he ever instruct you and document for you to not communicate with his sister? Or was he still allowing open communication to her and visitation?
He put some restrictions on us, but not in the area of normal day-to-day communication. She was approved to visit at any time. The hospice nurse, after each visit, would make a call to her, but she didn't answer. Whenever there was a change of condition, I would report that to the power of attorney and ask that he forward that to his sister. Mm-hmm. But there were no restrictions on communication. It was kind of the reverse. The power of attorney wanted me to alert him if the daughter was trying to remove them or schedule medical appointments without his knowledge or authorization.
And would he have had the right to, as a power of attorney, would he have had the right to exclude her from communication?
No, she's a family.
In writing, though, would he have had the power if he chose to exert it?
I can't answer that. I don't know the laws, but.
Okay.
Is that the relevance? Because that's.
Well, no. I just, to clarify some information, I mean, squabbling siblings, this happens a lot. This happens more often than we would all like to see. And ultimately, when somebody has been appointed power of attorney, from the ongoing relationship with the residents, they give the power to that power of attorney to direct everything about their care, as well as their finances in this case. And aside from a trust document, the power of attorney actually would have the right to exclude, and he didn't. So in my estimation, he was acting in good faith to continue to allow his sister to participate, and even though she was kind of coming backwards at him. I guess that's the point I was trying to make. Because I have found myself in this scenario numerous times. And sometimes the power of attorney will just say, you know what, this person can't be here right now. They're disruptive, they're causing stress to my parents. And but he opted not to do that, which may be gracious on his part.
Yeah.
That was my whole point. Because Madam President was kind of suggesting that there's a moral obligation to include all the family members, and that's not always legally obligated.
Yeah, and I have one last question. Would the POA have, if you would have told the POA that you felt that each resident or both together needed to have additional physician appointments, would you have relayed that to the POA, and would he have agreed?
Can you say that again? I'm not sure what you're asking.
Would the POA let you take the parents to a doctor if you thought they needed to go to another doctor?
Okay, so
that's pretty simple.
Okay, sorry about that. You asked me to get into a state of mind. My answer would be
no. I'm not asking his state of mind. I'm asking if he would have. Has he been cooperative with you in the past as the POA? The daughter is alleging that she wanted them to go see another doctor. She alleged that your facilities did not handle Parkinson's, and wanted to have her parents or one of them reexamined, and that's what I'm getting at. So if you, if that needed to be done, would the POA have allowed that?
I understand what you're asking, and I recall that part of the complaint. So both residents were diagnosed with paralysis agitans, which is Parkinson's disease. Both had seen a neurologist for continued treatment for those conditions, even before they moved in Oakmont in 2017. Somewhere between 2017 and 2019, the POA switched neurologists. And when the daughter called to say, I'm coming to town, I'm gonna take him to the neurologist, she was gonna take him to the old neurologist who hadn't seen them in over 5 years. And that's when the power of attorney objected and said, he canceled the appointment with the old neurologist and said, no, there's no reason because they're already being seen and treated by a new neurologist. In fact, had been seen just days before her arrival.
Well, then that explains the confusion on it, because the daughter did not know that they had changed the doctor, and she just thought this was going to be a normal appointment. So that clarifies that. All right, does the board have any further discussion? Do we have any further to present at this time?
No, ma'am.
All right, well, then we'll deliberate on what we wish to do.
Again, Madam President, I think this is a case involving family members against family members. I don't see anything. You know, the POA was always involved. The administrator, manager of this facility, not only had the neurologist involved, also involved hospice, bringing in extra nursing help to take care of this resident. Unfortunately, due to their diagnoses, they're going to decline at some juncture. I think he did everything within his authority that he could do to keep these residents safe, following exactly what the POA wanted. And I would move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss this complaint.
Second. All right, is it moved and seconded that the board dismiss this complaint? Roll call.
Member Dillaquin Franco?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Nay. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President. Members of the board.
All right, should we go to the consent calendar now? Or to the astronomers?
You can do this right if you like. Yep.
It's 9:42.
It's up to you.
All right. And we'll go back to the consent calendar.
Okay.
For the consent agenda. To item number 8. To not open a complaint or investigation of facility managers that are related to an ADHS enforcement complaint, items 1 through 6, does a board member wish to open a complaint against any one of these?
I don't have any, Madam President.
Do you have any?
No.
No. Do you have any, Susan? No. All right. All right, hearing none, well then I would entertain a motion to not open a complaint against number 1 through 6 that is related to an ADHS enforcement action.
I'll make the motion, Madam President, not to open a complaint case against items 7A, 1 through 6.
All right, is there a second? All right, it's been moved and seconded that we not open a complaint investigation of the facility manager from agenda items 7, 8, 1 through 6. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Steven?
What can I tell you?
It's 1 through 6 and decide if it's something you want to open a case on. And so those are item.
As a first timer, I am really just trying to.
Do you want to abstain?
Abstain?
Would you like to abstain? You may do so.
I think I'll abstain.
All right, thank you.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion is carried. All right, so if someone would tell us, Mr. Attorney General, where on the agenda am I supposed to go now?
You can go to 7C.
7C, Anna Mastrocca.
And this, I must.
And this is where you're recusing yourself?
Recusing, yep.
Okay.
And it is agendized, Madam President, for a consent agreement. So if the board would like, you can look at the consent agreement first and determine whether you want to accept it.
All right, would the board like to take a look at the consent agreement that is being offered for Anna Mastrocca?
Just for the record, I pulled these specific classes right from the board's website of approved courses. So you will see a couple of them there are 2 hours each because that's what the board approves. And I couldn't find any other ones, but I did try to match them up as best as I could to the board's concerns regarding the matter.
So the consent agreement starts on page 52 of your materials. If you need help navigating, just raise your hand.
We all are, yeah, we're sorry. We have new computers and we have a whole new layout and it's hard to remember where to go next, and we apologize. So thank you for being patient with us.
So just a quick question for the AG's office. She signed or is willing to sign the consent?
She already signed it.
She's already signed it?
Yep.
So your motion would be to accept the signed consent agreement, correct?
Yes, yeah. It hasn't been counter-executed yet because the board didn't accept it. So you'll notice there's no board signature on it.
Got it. Thank you.
So what is the board's determination?
I would make a motion, Madam President, to accept the consent agenda as executed already by Mrs. Mastrocca as brought forward by the AG's office.
All right, I second that motion. Roll call, please.
Roll call.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you very much. Now, I'm going to move back to. I'm sorry. I'm going back to item number 7B, and we're going to start with the second complaint case for Bettina Noah. Is Bettina present? Bettina is not present. All right, would you go ahead, please, and present the case?
Madam President and board members, this is complaint 2135. The licensee is Bettina Noah, who is not present at today's meeting. On January 27, 2021, DHS conducted an onsite assisted living facility compliance inspection at Tremonto Desert Rose Assisted Living located in Phoenix, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 5 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Noah was notified of the complaint and did not provide a written response. On approximately March 31, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee, Tremonto Desert Rose Assisted Living LLC, for one of the unsubstantiated violations.
All right, thank you very much. This is the date, time, and place where. No, is this the one?
That's just. This is just the right.
Okay, just right here. All right. All right, so, and we have not heard from her at all?
No, ma'am.
And I would say, Madam Chair, this is ongoing since April 29, 2021, and she has yet to respond.
Wow.
And they've sent April, May, and June to her, and she's yet to respond.
All right, then what's the board, the pleasure of the board?
I just don't feel that she can be regulated. She's not responding to the board. These are some serious allegations. DHS investigated. They found her with civil fines. And I would just make a motion for her to voluntarily surrender. surrender.
Right.
So if you want, I'll make the formal motion.
Please do.
Based upon information contained in investigative report, I move the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.7B3 and ARS 44610AACR 433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct complaint number 21-35 involving manager Bettina Nowak, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of certificate, or I'm sorry, excuse me. It will be for a voluntary surrender of the certificate, and that's my motion.
Is there a second?
Member Kidder, second.
All right, thank you. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
President Kemp?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
May I ask just for clarification from staff? And that's the standard motion for surrender. If she doesn't sign, it will be forwarded to hearing?
To formal hearing.
That's concurrence? Okay, thank you.
All right, we're going to move to complaint item number 2148, Sylvia Osh. Is Sylvia present today? No, Sylvia? All right. If staff, if you will please present when you're ready.
One second.
Take your time.
We lost her and her file. Sorry.
That's not funny.
Okay. Are you ready, staff? Thank you. Go ahead.
Find the file.
Thank you.
Madam President and Board staff, this is complaint 2148. The licensee is Sylvia Aluk, who was not present at today's meeting. On March 1st, 2021, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Symphony Assisted Living located in Gilbert, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 6 deficiencies in 6 areas. Ms. Aluk was notified of the complaint and she did file a written response. On approximately April 6th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 upon the facility licensee, Symphony Assisted Living LLC, for 2 substantiated violations.
All right. And she's not present today.
No,
ma'am. Did she say why she would not be here today?
I have not received any notifications.
Ms. Aluk, are you present on the telephone?
All right, what's the decision? What's the board's pleasure with this one?
She didn't respond at all.
She responded.
She didn't respond in writing, though, yes.
Yeah, she said that this was her first, let's see, first experience as a facility manager, and she's enrolled in the in-service program.
And it looks like she's managing 2 facilities. Am I correct in that?
Yeah.
Yes.
She's there on the weekends. She has another job besides the 2.
Oh.
And she's there 3 hours a day on the weekends. Also, there was a ethical issue with dating the disaster plans ahead. Whether that was a mistake or not, it didn't really say it in the survey. It basically said that the disaster plan dates were dated ahead.
Okay, do that.
Yeah. So, yes.
Well, I'm not sure quite how to phrase all this stuff, but in reading the case and facts before me, I don't feel this person should be carrying a manager's certificate at this time. I think she has messed up on 6 different issues, many of which are very, very serious and could bring immediate harm and jeopardy to the residents she is responsible for serving. And I would like to see her license personally revoked. I don't know how you put that into a motion, but that's where I am.
Based upon the information contained in investigative report, I move the board find sufficient evidence of violation of ARS 36-446.07B3 and ARS 446-10A, CR 433-47A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-48 against manager Sylvia Alou, and that the board offer consent agenda, consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter being forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: voluntary surrender of licensure.
Is there a second?
A second.
All right.
I'm here, second.
Excuse me, thank you. It's been moved and seconded that there be a voluntary surrender of license. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to move to item number 2154, Robert Bailey. Are you present, Robert? Robert Bailey. Are you present on the phone, Mr. Bailey? All right, we will proceed. Staff, please, with this case.
Madam President and Board staff, board members, this is complaint number 2154. The licensee is Robert Bailey, who is not present at today's meeting. On March 29, 2021, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living facility complaint investigation at Generations at Ahwatukee, located in Phoenix, Arizona. The complaint investigation identified four deficiencies in two different areas. Mr. Roberts was notified of the complaint and did file a written response. On approximately May 19, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 upon the facility licensee for two of the substantiated violations. This should be Ms. Roberts, not Mr. is not here to discuss the complaint investigation with the board.
Okay. All right. So what is the pleasure of the board? I do want to let those of you in the audience know, as you can tell, if you don't show up for a hearing, we're going to hear your case anyway. So just know that when you have an allegation against you, when you get notified you're going to have a hearing, we expect that person, unless there's undue circumstances that they can't do anything about it. They need to be here in person. Otherwise, we will hear the case. Second, if any of you are here to sign in for CEUs, be sure you sign in before you leave today to get credit for today. Thank you very much. Now,
I think on this case, I mean, it was TB test, fingerprinting, CPR. And I know, you know, Mr. Bailey was interim with Generations there. But I agree with the recommendation of the consent agreement.
And to add to that, I would even go as far as to say that, you know, this isn't a small facility, so they would have a management structure, and you've got an HR person, business office management, who's going to be looking to see if they have those fingerprint clearance cards and TB test up to date. But I would agree with the board's recommendation on the necessary training.
I can make a motion.
Okay.
Okay, based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 445-10, AACR 4-33-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-54. Involving manager Robert Bailey, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of certificate that stays of suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $387, 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required in document completion in each of the following, I would say personnel requirements. And any cost of probation are those of the licensee and certificate.
Should we add, would you be willing to add communicable diseases?
Yes, I would be willing to add communicable, let me amend that and add communicable diseases.
3 hours?
3 hours, yes, sir.
I'll second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion. Thank you. Going to move to item number 2155, Veronica Barassa.
Or if you'd like, we can jump back so that our IA can get on with the rest of the day.
Oh, yes, it's 10 o'clock, thank you. So where do I go?
Six B. Six B.
I don't wear my page out. Okay, six B.
Keeping us on our toes.
Okay. Janice Revell. All right.
This starts on page 30 of your materials.
Page 30? Okay. And this is our formal hearing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is the day, time, and place where the matter dealing with.
I think, Madam President, you have a motion to deem in front of you, so you're not going to do the formal hearing.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, is there a motion to deem?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know where I am.
Hang on a second.
I'm sorry. I mean, I got it up. Yeah, we do. This is the wrong one. Do you have Anna Cross? I need that.
I don't know what it is.
I didn't. All right. So do I go just sort of the top?
Please.
All right, there it is. This is the day, time, and place where the matter dealing with Janice Ravelli. Complaint number 2109 is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Examiners and Nursing Care Administrators and Assistant Living Facility Managers. Will the parties present please identify themselves?
Yes, Assistant Attorney General Shane Monahan here representing the state.
Is Janice Ravelli present at all?
No, she indicated that she would not be here today, isn't that correct? Executive Director?
Yes, if you look on page 30, she has an email she sent in requesting for postponement and her circumstances why she would not be able to be present.
All right, let the record be noted that she is not present. All right, the state has filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. If granted, the board will treat all allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as true and move directly to the determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of the violation. The state will present a brief statement to the board about the request, and then the respondent can address the board. Please address your remarks using whether you received the complaint. All right, or why you did not file.
All right, Madam President, before you take up the motion to deem, I think based upon the input from your Assistant Attorney General and your Executive Director, I think you have to consider, first of all, that motion to continue by Ms. Relleve. So you would have to decide, based upon her request to continue today's proceedings, whether or not you're going to grant that.
I would, Madam President, say no. She was given due notice.
There is an email, I wasn't here at the time, but if the board members did see, there was an email submitted that she was not the manager of record. I just wanted to point that out. I didn't read it that well, I just saw it this morning, but just to make sure you read it and understand it.
All right.
So, Dr. Villafranca, was that a motion to deny the request to continue?
Correct.
And I second it. Roll call.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Nay.
Archer?
Nay.
Member Seaman?
Nay.
Motion's defeated, so.
Yep, motion's defeated.
So.
Do you want to pick this up?
So what do you want us to do now?
Well, so Dr. Villafranca's motion was to deny the motion to continue. There would now need to be a positive motion to grant the motion to continue if that's the inclination of the board.
To grant the what?
The request to continue.
To next month.
To next month.
I'll make a motion to move this case to next month from the request from Mrs. Relevant.
And that's a fair, Mr. Comfort, that's a fair, that Ms. Relevant did request to continue it, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Would you be willing to amend that to, if she does not choose to appear again, there would be additional penalties against her license, her birth certificate? I mean, in other words, it sounds like she has missed one or two times.
She has.
And it's kind of the three strikes and you're out kind of thing, that then it becomes to me apparent that she does not wish to participate with this group and look for ways to.
Yeah, it'll come back to us and then we can take action at that time.
Right.
We decide that she's not manageable. I don't think we would need any additional action, but we could still dispose of the case at a future date.
The state would like to note also, Madam Chair, members of the board, that I do believe the request for continuance came in after the deadline to file.
It did.
Her answer. And I don't know if that changes anything, but.
That's why I said tonight.
Yeah. Did you hear that, Board Member Kidder?
That would change my response about Charles' motion, previous motion.
And I just want to record, that's exactly why I said deny the motion, because again, this is multiple times that we've tried to hear this case, and her responses are always late.
A point of order, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but we have a motion to postpone on the table. It's appropriate that we follow up on that motion and move forward. Then we can have some more discussion after that.
Is there a second to postpone this?
What's the motion? I'm sorry.
The motion is to postpone this hearing on this case until next month. And I'm asking if there's
a motion. Today, if she says next month and requested the continuance after the deadline,
yes.
I think we should hear it today. I don't think we should postpone it one more month.
All right, I'm asking only for a second to the motion that's on the floor. Is there anyone, any board member that will second the motion on the floor to continue this case until next month? Hearing no second, the motion is not entertained.
So, Madam Chair, may I represent my
you
motion?
You may make a new motion.
That we deny her request to postpone until next month and hear the case today.
Is there a second to that?
Member Kidder, second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that we deny the request for a continuance and hear the case today. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Nay.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Now we'll proceed with the formal hearing.
With the motion to deem, absolutely.
The motion to deem, okay. The board has deemed the allegations and the complaint?
No.
No, not that one?
We have to.
We don't have to do the deem?
Oh, I have to give my sentence.
Oh, so, okay.
So, Madam Chair, members of the board, this matter came, this Assistant Attorney General, Seamus Monahan, representing the state. This matter came before you originally December 14th, 2020, and I will try to clean this up better than the last one. I know that was kind of a mess. So, December 14th, 2020, it came before you. DHS took, substantiated four violations. Three of those were repeat deficiencies. And the board also substantiated those violations and offered a consent agreement to resolve the complaint within 10 days if not signed, moved to formal hearing. That was never signed. On March 24th, 2021, board staff sent a complaint notice of hearing for June. Again, the June matter was postponed. On October 26th, the board sent a notice with the complaint notice of hearing attached, indicating that to the respondent's address of record with the board, which was received per Exhibit C by somebody at that residence. There was never answered. It was due by November 30th, 2021. As you heard, I believe it was maybe December 9th that we received an email and asking for a continuation, which would have been after the date and time that that was due. So the board respectfully requests that, the state respectfully requests that the board deem the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as admitted and adopt the factual allegations and potential violations of law as your findings of fact and conclusions of law as stated, and take action without holding a hearing today.
All right, is there a motion to deem the allegations?
I'll move that the board grant the state's motion and deem the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as admitted.
Second.
Roll call.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Is there a motion to adopt the factual findings and allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing as finding as fact and conclusion of law?
I move that the board adopt the factual allegations and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Second. They moved and seconded that the board adopt the factual allegations and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint of notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion is carried. The final issue for determination is appropriate discipline based on the facts of the finding of fact and conclusion of law we've adopted. We will allow the parties to briefly address the issue versus the state and the respondent, the state's presentation.
The state has no presentation and defers to the board.
All right, thank you. And the respondent is not present. We will now deliberate on the appropriate discipline to be imposed, and the board may consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 3644607. A, dismiss the case if the opinion of the board that the information is without merit. Issue a letter of concern. Issue a letter of degree of censure. Order of probation with specific terms and conditions. Impose a civil penalty in the amount of no more than $500 per violation, a suspension or revocation. What is the pleasure of the board?
You know, I'm torn between a suspension and a revocation for this.
Well, I'm thinking of revocation.
Okay.
She says that her duties were slacked because of a new job she took as an LPN.
Well, that's...
What I'm saying is her response to that board must be better than her response to this board.
Right.
So, not sure she intends to participate in this.
Can't hear you.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
You're my fault.
Beg your pardon.
Here.
I got it. My point was that she states that her duties here as an assistant living manager were slacking because she took a job as an LPN. And my point, I guess, was that she seems to take that board and that job a little more seriously than this board and the job as being a manager. And is not understanding the relevance and significance of responding to this board. I mean, she responded, but she's not here to state her case at all. So I don't see that she has any intention of remaining as a manager.
Well, and she had people providing care that weren't certified as caregivers. She was retaining residents that were bed-bound or chair-bound that, you know, she didn't have documentation from a provider saying that they could. Those are some serious items. And they're not documenting even waits that are only once a month. Let's say once a month requirement, and you couldn't even do that. So I would agree with you, Madam President, on a revocation. And I would make the motion that the board move for revocation.
And I second the motion. Roll call.
Dr. Middlefront?
Madam Chair, I apologize. Please state findings of fact and potential violations of law that will be used to move that to a formal hearing, as you would with your consent agreements.
I'm sorry, this is a formal hearing.
Sorry about that. I lost the thread.
It's okay.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Stevens, I'm sorry.
And I vote aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. President Campbell?
Aye. Motion is carried. This concludes the proceedings. The board decision will be reduced to a written order and certain order on the hard action. I'm sorry. We're going to have a little 5-minute recess.
I did get a text from Board Member Kidder that things were going a little crazy on the floor and that he may need to leave to take care of that.
Very good. Well, we still have a forum.
Yes.
All right. So I will call the meeting back to order. Thank you for your indulgence. I am going to now move to case number 2166, Chief Sue Zamora. Chief Sue, come up to the front, please. And this is, as I said, case number 2166.
And this starts on page 562 of your board materials.
562. All right, staff, if you would like to present, please.
Madam President, to the board members, this is case number 2166. The licensee is King Sue Zamora, who is a certified manager on it, and she is present. On April 13, 2021, the Department of Health Services conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at a Sunny Pine assisted living home located in Phoenix, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 12 deficiencies in 8 different areas. The deficiencies included...
This guy's hearing me,
son. I'm sorry, which includes 8 different deficiencies. Mrs. Zamora is here today to present her case, and she did respond by writing.
All right.
Mrs.
Mr. Zamora?
Hi, good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Madam. Good morning, Board Member. Thank you for taking your time to help the system getting better. And I want to personally thank you for Mr. Brandon working with me because I have a personal issue. I did not attend last month's meeting. Thank you so much.
All right. How many residents are you authorized for your home?
The Sunday Pine is licensing for 10.
Yeah.
And the time of survey, we have 8.
License for 10, and at the time of the survey, you had 8.
Yes, ma'am.
Right, thank you.
Were you there for the inspection?
Yeah, we
saw. I wasn't there for inspection, and as the no, I dropped for Mr. Brandon. It's due to the COVID. I was affected by COVID. And I have a death in the family, and also my dad, that's what's been in Texas. I just brought him back in for the meeting. Is declining tremendously. But I was very close communicate with the care homeowner, Julia Holm. We communicate every day, 2-3-4 times a day. We do a Zoom call. You know why I was had to be detained due to the health issue, to the personal matter.
How long were you away from the community?
I was off and on, you know, non-Pacific, take a 3 weeks off, a week off, due to a family matter. As a matter of fact, the care homeowner, I also advised her, I said, due to the illness myself and my family, it's best in your interest, you know, if you can find another assistant living manager. And she's diligent trying to find another manager, but once again, unfortunately, the COVID season, nobody is working, and she cannot find one suitable, understanding, and can spend time with her patiently, with her, explain to her policy position one by one.
So you keep mentioning COVID. I'm over here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Doctor.
You keep mentioning COVID. We all know how serious COVID was.
Yes,
is to our clientele that we serve in senior living. One of your biggest issues that the inspector found was the policies and procedures to screen people coming in, take temperatures, screen your residents, screen anyone walking through your doors was not in place. They didn't have policy. And so they cited you that you failed to establish policies and document policies and procedures to protect the health and safety of residents, to cover screening and triage before entry to any personnel member, employee, visitors, and or any other individuals, and the manner and the frequency of addressing residents to determine a change in their condition, as well as disinfection protocols and disinfecting high touch surface point areas for residents. So I'm glad that you keep mentioning COVID.
Yes.
But we know how serious it can be in our homes and our facilities. I'm just curious why that wasn't in place.
At a time the survey are coming, we do have a screen sheet. As we do our POC, plan of correction, we stated at a time when the survey are coming in, she look at our policy and procedure and the screening form. She told the homeowner, Julian, oh, that's okay, you know, you're fine. And then she turned around, cited us, and then we send it in, whatever we have. You know, the screening form at a time she came in, and at a time we also put a policy and procedure in our addendum in the policy, addendum in the policy and procedure. We also sent out into the city. Ma'am, we did have this at the time you came in. You forgot about that, or maybe you oversee it. And so the senators counted back and said, okay, you know, I'm sorry about that.
And so is your screening tools updated? As we all know,
yes,
it continued to change and
yes,
add new things such as diarrhea, rashes, that sort of thing.
Fever, headache, shortness of breath, you know, at the time you come in and also at the time you go out. And also with the resident right now, we also have a one visitor, no more than 2 at a time. And if a census, the COVID with the is bad, as it rising up, we don't allow any visitor sometimes. And if our resident don't feel good, and we call the family to say, this is not a good day to visit, we'd rather you not coming in. And also, we also right now have a small children coming in at the home.
Were you responsible for the hiring?
No, often not. Once again, due to my illness, to attend my dad in Texas, and me and Julia were both the homeowner, yes. Yes and no, but I know that's my responsibility.
So yes and no, only if it didn't affect you?
No, no, I'm not skipping my responsibility, no, sir.
So what happened with the person who was there providing care that wasn't certified?
We asked her, also asked for the certified school, to say, look, I'm gonna give you so many time, you know, so many days, I need you to go get that. And once again, nobody was open, and I cannot, we cannot find anybody.
So beyond that, how did she come into your facility to provide care without having a valid certification?
She told me, and she told the homeowner to say, I will run it to you.
Did you see it?
No, I'm sorry.
So you allowed someone in without certification?
And then after that, we terminated her. Yes, sir, I'm sorry, doctor.
Was she providing care to any one of your residents at any particular time?
Only at the first couple of days, yes. For 2 days.
So the answer is yes?
Yes.
Was she an assistant caregiver? Did she have her fingerprint card?
Yes, her fingerprint card, and she had a TV. You know, and the TV, maybe we misunderstand, because it changed the criteria.
Let me go back, because you just testified to Member Archer, she had a fingerprint card, but you recited that she didn't.
No, I'm sorry, you tell me, you asked me as a certificate of a caregiver.
No, she said fingerprint card.
I'm asking, yes, so she didn't have a fingerprint card. Okay.
I think she did.
No, she did not.
She did not. Okay.
E4 is who we're talking about. She was, again, you didn't see the document. You didn't check the fingerprint card. So I'm going to just say right now to the board, that really is a serious egregious to me.
Yes.
That person is there. You know nothing about this person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're there alone providing care to a resident who's paying good money to be there and receive quality care. And you can't even tell me if this person's certified or not. In the hiring process, you didn't even ask for the document. That makes me wonder how many other people might have been or could have been, you know, the old shoulda, coulda, woulda, mm-hmm. in that facility providing care that we didn't even look for a document.
It's true.
A simple piece of paper. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's a serious issue.
It is.
Are you the one who brought that person in?
Okay. Yeah.
She hired by the owner.
Yes.
By the owner.
Yes.
Does the owner know the rules?
Yes. And then once again, we took, you know, the one point, you know, I'll bring it to you, I bring it to you. And after the survey, after we got the survey from the state board, we terminated the person. And doctor, I understand your concern.
However, you would not have had the state not come in and found it.
I will send you with the staff we have right now.
But the actions did not happen until the state came in and asked for the file, reviewed the file, and said, where's the documents? That would have never have happened unless the state would have come in and done their survey. If the state would have never chosen that file, that individual would have been continuing on providing care, because it didn't spark anyone's attention until the state said, she's not a caregiver. And then you guys started saying, let's send her to school.
No, we did. When she came, Julia knows she is not certified caregiver, but Julia go, we're gonna find a school for you to go to. And Julia, me and the care home owner as a team, we go, well, you need to bring your fingerprint card. You know, and then we give a time frame, and I understand your address
right
now.
What's the time frame?
You know, within a week, you need to bring that in, within 5 days.
What does the reg say?
Right away.
What does the reg say for a fingerprint card?
You have to have that the day ahead. Is that what you're asking?
I'm just curious what the regulation says, because the reg says something different.
Right.
But what does the reg say about fingerprint clearance cards?
You have to have that of the day of the hiring. Is that what you're trying to ask me?
It's not what the regulation says.
He's asking the regulation around it. There is a timeframe in the regulation. That's what he's asking. And you've been a manager since 2013, quite a long time.
I always, this time I dropped the ball. I always hire a person within myself, renew my fingerprint card before the due date. So I always hire without taking a chance, always have them to have that card, you know, when they walk in the care home. And I dropped the ball.
Are you there as a manager now?
Last couple weeks, no. I just come back from Texas. My dad is dying. And I did tell her, you need to find someone because I'm back and forth. I can't deal with this. I'm mentally exhausted, but I'm trying to help her. So we do conference call every day. And I look at her chart, you know, I'm with you.
So your certificate's still hung at that facility?
For right now, but I'm told.
But you're physically not there at all?
Physically, I am. You know, every a week or two, I come back, I stay with her. You know, I be with her, care for the resident, cooking, mark checking. You know, if she need any question on the doctor, I talk to her how to take care of the problem.
What's the disposition of the board? We have a concern here. A big concern.
Charles, looking at things.
No, I'm just reviewing 36411.
Can you give me that orange book, please?
Yes.
And I just wanted to validate that she understood. And she doesn't.
Can you tell me how you check a certificate for a caregiver to see if it's a good certificate or not? What do you do for that process?
On the bottom is article number. And then oftentimes I call whoever who issued the certificate. Miss Nora have a caregiving school. I will call her to verify, hey, is that your certificate? And they will tell me I went to school in certain institute, Cactus. Normally I deal with, you know, I call Nora a couple times and that's how I verify. Did I answer your question?
Yes, there's other ways to verify. And now you're surprised to hear this, but people make fraudulent certificates with ALP numbers that aren't right.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
You can't also buy the number.
You can go on a skateboard, the CNA licensing. You know, if you tell me it's a violate or not, you can go online to
that's
look.
That's correct, but we can't use CNAs in the system.
We call caregiver, absolutely. And then, like I said, I verify with the whoever who issued the certificate.
What's the disposition of the board?
I'd say the whole class untested. I'm not hearing the correct regulations in regards to assisted living.
Would you like to make that motion?
I can.
Thank you.
Okay. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-46.07B3. ARS 44610, AACR 4-33-407AB, A and B1, for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-66 involving manager Chisu Zamorza. And the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within, I say 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of a certificate would stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months? Three months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $425. Completed 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion. Successfully passed a state examination for managers administered by the board. Any costs of the probation are those of the licensee or certificate holder.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried.
Yeah, Member Kidder is aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Member Kidder, we'll add you to that vote.
Okay.
We're going to send you some paperwork within the next 10 days. If you have questions, let me know. Thank you for coming down today.
Thank you very much. And our next case is 2157 Joshua Angeles. Would you come forward, please?
Thank you, madam.
Thank you. Staff, are you ready to proceed?
Do you have a page number?
This is case number 2157.
525.
525.
Correct. Thank you.
Page 525. All right, staff, please go ahead.
Madam President and the board members, this is complaint number 2157. The licensee is Joshua Angeles, I'm sorry, who was present at today's meeting. On January 29th, 2021, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Class Act Los Alamos Mesa, located in Mesa, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified one deficiency in the area of prohibited acts. Mr. Angeles was notified of the complaint and he did file a written response. On approximately May 4th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for a substantiated violation. Mr. Angeles is here to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
All right. So, Mr. Angeles, the main gist of this is that,
I didn't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, good morning.
Is that you were licensed for 10 residents and you had 12?
Correct.
So would you like to tell us about?
Sure. It's mainly a staffing issue. In December, we had two homes, 10 beds each.
December of 21 or 20?
20.
Sorry. Okay.
2020. And we got, I think we had a case of COVID, and we had two full-time caregivers that worked 40, 50 hours a week, just walk off and not show up. So we sent, we communicated with all the families, you know, we're really short staffed. We've got an issue, you guys gotta find homes for your families. So, you know, that whole month we had employees working overtime. I think we were able to get 7 or 8 residents moved. We called the hospitals, tried to send some residents to the hospitals. We called the county, even called the Department of Health. And we just had two extra residents. We didn't know what to do with it in our disaster plan. The plan is to move them to the other facility. So we were just at a point where we had very little options. And the goal was to move them there temporarily and try to rehire because, you know, everyone was short staffed. But that did not go according to plan.
Were you the facility manager for both of these locations?
Yes, and the owner as well.
The owner of both of them and the manager of both of them?
Correct. I will say we did call the Department of Health. And, we asked for guidance and there was some creative discussions, but I said, hey, if I do that, it's not necessarily following another rule. And it was at the point where they said, you just got to pick your poison at this point. So, we thought we did what was best for the residents. It was an 11 bed home. We had enough caregivers to have 3 caregivers on during the day for every one caregiver for every 4 residents. I was personally there, and you know, we had enough to meet the care needs of the residents we had, and the facility was big enough. But yes, we were over 10.
So you're aware that it's a violation to be over 10. And you made the conscious decision to consolidate.
Well, no, I wasn't aware. I thought it was due to, like, it being an emergency.
So in your policy and procedures, your, one of your emergency protocols then is to, is to...
To move...
To another home?
Yes.
Okay. And my question was going to be, did you have adequate rooms and or rooms that were big enough to house the people? I mean, you didn't cram four people in a room?
Oh, no, no, no. Okay. The most we had in a room was two. We have very large...
And those rooms were large enough per code?
Yeah, we have 11 bedrooms, and they're all up to code.
Okay.
It's ADA compliant home, big hallways.
Yes, you're good to go.
Mr. Angeles, question I would have is, how did you involve the residents in the decisions that were made as to who would be moved, when they would be moved, how their accommodation would be changed? And did you seek their permission to do that, and is that in writing?
Well, the POAs were all notified, and that's how we went from 20 residents to 12.
You said you consulted with the POAs?
Yes. Yeah. Consulting with POAs and finding a place for you know, just eight residents in December when, you know, it was so chaotic, was difficult enough. You know, we thought the hospitals would be able to help, but they would send residents back same day. Some paramedics weren't even taking them, and you know, it was like, hey, it's kind of fend for yourself time. And as you guys know, there's shortages then, there's shortages now, and we're taking proactive approaches. We're actually, because of the shortages now, we're debating closing a home, and we're scaling down from 10 to 5 currently, and we won't make the mistake going and waiting until less.
Because you were clearly violating the license of each home to be in excess of 10 beds.
Well, I thought due to the emergency state, there was an exception, and we didn't know what to do.
Did you think to consult with DHS as to what other alternatives they could help you with?
Yeah, I called them many times. I told us to call the county. The county wasn't
busy. Just a second.
Oh. Excuse me, hey, Fred.
Please.
Wait, are you asking a question?
Quite clearly. Yes. I think he stated quite clearly all the people he talked to, including DHS. As he stated, there was a long discussion, and when it was all said and done, DHS said, check, pick the least of your poison. Seems to me, if we're going to tell this guy to create staffing out of thin air and have a policy about it, maybe DHS needs to have a policy how they will respond when there's emergencies like this are going to occur when you have staff shortages due to things like COVID and other things. I mean, there's some point in which you can't expect somebody to do something out of thin air.
I have a question for you.
So what Fred was saying, you know, he consulted with DHS and with several other officials, and he was trying to consolidate based on staffing issues to take care of the residents the best he could, because you couldn't just get rid of the residents. He had nowhere to send them. That's what Member Randolph was just saying.
But don't you let DHS know that of your crisis,
yeah,
and say, I need a temporary permission to do the following, and do you understand what I am doing, and can you help me with this? Because we all recognize the crisis that's going on right now.
Absolutely.
And get some buy-in from other regulatory groups, that rather than primarily saying, oh, you can't take them. And then the staff, I mean, just what was done in terms of acquiring extra staff, even though it may not be really financially able, where do you go when you need extra staff? I'm not clear on that.
Well, that's kind of the question I think a lot of homes are having in facilities. You know, there's no financial incentive to go from 20 to 12 residents. We're actually eating a massive loss this whole time, where as far as where do you find staff, I think that's a challenge we're all facing. I mean, I'm adequately staffed almost all the time, except for that period. And we're going into a period now where staffing is kind of getting hard. And I think we're going to take the safe route and try to go down to one home, or maybe half occupancy at one home, and have one caregiver, five residents. Anything beyond that, I don't feel comfortable. So I don't know where to get staff.
Did you call agencies?
Girl.
To get staff?
I did, but there's almost like a bidding war where I was like, hey, you've got to pay $30-$35 an hour, and we don't have the finances to offer that. Big facilities, my hospitals, we don't.
I just, you know, I understand the evacuation between the two buildings. So going forward, I assume you would have another evacuation site named as well. And because of this tier two you own, when I read the case, those people stayed, are they still there? Are you still?
No, we've got two homes there now. Now, the plan was to hire, but you know, at the same time, our vaccine clinic was scheduled, and you know, I think, you know, getting on the booster vaccine, or the COVID vaccine clinic was kind of like a lottery, and you know, they wanted us to keep the people in the same facility. So we did start hiring, and then the people we hired didn't show up or didn't come in. And, you know, we're planning to open back up right sometime in January, February, with those temporary. And we were too over. I thought the hospitals would step up. And there were some cases where a resident should have clearly been admitted, but they were sent back. We were just trying to buy time at that point.
The Department of Health wouldn't entertain a temporary increase in the number of residents. Did you ask for that?
We did, and they said, your license for 10?
They won't allow.
They won't allow.
It's within the city code that they can't go over that 10.
But they also do state that you can request a waiver, and I did that at the beginning of COVID, preemptively, which I was told to do, and it was granted. It was not granted.
Right.
So even in my policy and procedure to put maybe three people in a large enough room to meet the square footage requirements so that I could isolate somebody who might have COVID in the home where we don't have isolation rooms, I was not granted that allotment either. Did you consider, you know, I've dealt with many skilled nursing centers and such, and they have to do a safe discharge. And if they don't have a place for the person to go, they actually discharge them in a cab to a homeless shelter. Did you consider that?
No.
They
do. Oh, that's.
They absolutely do.
Absolutely.
They do that?
They do. Madam
Chair, I don't know. Given the testimony, I'm not sure. Staff didn't make a recommendation on this one. Would the board consider a letter of concern or dismissal of the allegations given the circumstances?
So you moved everybody, you consolidated the two homes. There's a massive pandemic going on. Commend you on doing what you did. It did put you over, and you were willing to eat that to provide adequate care for your people. You consolidated your staff to be able to provide the necessary care. When did you come back into compliance with the 10 bed? How long did that take you?
As soon as the residents were vaccinated, we were hired up. The other piece was when the surveyor came, we asked her for advice. What do we do? And she, super nice lady, nothing against her, but she had no advice. She said, do your best. She said, I understand the situation you're in. Many other homes are in a similar situation. But to answer your question, I did not consider sending a residence to a homeless shelter. I did not know that was an option. I don't think I would consider it because we're really close with all the residents. Like, we know all their families. That I'm proud to lose my license.
So I think the question was...
It was 4 months, according to the case.
4 months.
4 months.
After the vaccine clinic.
Yeah.
We were able to open, get all our staff vaccinated. Walgreens did not want us moving residents and commingling. They said if you did that, you know, we're not sure how the other clinic will go. So we just followed everyone's advice, and everyone got vaccinated and reopened safely.
I think he was just stuck between a rock and a hard place.
I would
make a motion that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 21-57 against manager Joshua Angeles.
Is there a second? All right, it's been moved and seconded that the complaint be
dismissed.
Roll call, please. Roll call.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear who first. Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jericho. Thanks for coming. And now we're going to move to item number 2187, Catherine Cervella. Please come forward. It's item number 2187, page number, Jack?
It starts on 886.
886. All right, would you please identify yourself?
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Catherine Sardella.
And who's with you?
I'm her husband, Marlon Sardella, co-owner of the business in question.
So you two are co-owners of the facility?
Yes.
All right, hold on just a moment, please. Staff, would you present the case?
Yes. Madam President and board members, this is complaint 2187. The licensee is Catherine Sardella, who is present at today's meeting. On June 4th, 2021, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at El Mirage Group Home located in El Mirage, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 12 deficiencies in 6 different areas. Ms. Sardella was noticed of the complaint and she did file a written response. On approximately July 6, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $2,500 upon the facility licensee El Mirage Group Home LLC for 5 of the substantiated violations. Ms. Sardella is here to discuss the and investigation with the board.
It says in the case she didn't provide a response, did not.
Yeah, it says that she did not provide.
I'm sorry.
Or the plan of correction.
Which?
Or plan of correction.
She didn't write out a formal written response, but she did submit some documents, but it wasn't the plan of correction.
All right, Mr. Miller, were you present when the DHS inspector came?
No.
You were not? Did you come within 2 hours?
No. By the time I was informed that the DHS was there, they already left. So I believe it was less than an hour when the DHS was present until I found out, before I can get there.
And that was your manager designee?
Yes. So what happened is with the El Mirage Group Home, we had sold the business. We were no longer officially the owner. And we had an internal agreement that on May 14th that they were going to take over as of June 1st. And as an internal courtesy, I were to stay as a manager. So we were transitioning for me to move everything out of the care home because as of June 1st, they're the owner. And so I basically left all of the responsibility to the new owner.
Now, basically, you were still the manager because you kept your license up.
Yes.
So rather, didn't matter who owned it.
Correct.
Take the owner away from it.
Right.
You were still the manager with your license still on that wall.
Correct. Right? However, the transition is that I were only to be there within a month, and so we were going to have me be off that. And I do not recall if I did inform the NCIA board that I am going to be removing my license as of this date.
Okay, so either way, you were still the manager. So this survey, right, would have been your survey. Even if a new manager would have stepped in 3 weeks earlier, this would have still been your survey because you had been the manager there for an extended period of time, more than a year, right?
I believe so, in around that time.
So this would have still been your survey, regardless of the selling of the business, regardless of what you just said, you would have still been the manager responsible for this survey. That's what I just want to clarify that.
I believe in essence, yes, because I'm supposed to have my license removed as soon as they find somebody. Because the transaction will be
settled. Unfortunately, when you say as soon as they find someone, there's no definitive timeline. So that's open to interpretation legally, because you don't give them a definitive, I'm only going to be your manager until this specific time and place, June 1st. And I'm out. You have until June 1st. You allowed them to decide when you gave them that option of saying, I'll be your manager until you find someone. Well, you don't know how fast they're finding someone.
Absolutely. I do believe that the time frame that we have, because the business, everything got turned over as of June 1st, is June 30 would be my last day, because I was only going to be there for 30 days.
The inspection would have been for the prior year while you were the manager.
Correct. The June 4th was, I believe, the inspection. The
right. So this, and they came on the 4th of June. So they're finding things that were wrong with your facility that happened long before the 4th of June.
No.
And that's the problem.
May I interject? With regards to the employee, and I think this is mostly about the employee that they did find, we had no knowledge of, we did not hire, we had no clue that they did this. They did not consult with us in any way, shape, or form.
Did they hire all new staff in on the 1st of June?
As far as we know, yes. I did leave them with a licensed caregiver who called us and said that she didn't take the position and wanted a job with us. Other than that, we hired who we hired.
And right, not the issue becomes, the issue becomes is that you left your license on that business.
Yes.
So you assumed all of those responsibilities when you chose to leave it on that business, regardless of who's doing the hiring. Because we hear this all the time. We hear it all the time when group home managers, assisted living managers hang a license on a group home, and the owner is responsible for the hiring. It doesn't matter, because we don't manage the owner. We manage the manager. And so if you are the manager, you go into the business, you double check who's there. You look at those personnel records, and if they're not allowing you to do that, you say, then I'm taking my license down effective today. And then you notify the board within the substantial time frame, a substantial time frame as outlined in our regs, and you call it quits. It is what it is. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and that's why we're here today.
So what's the pleasure of the board? What's the determination that you wish to do?
Do you still have a business, or are you managing right now?
No. The all ties with me involved with this particular facility cease June 30. So I no longer manage or at all.
At all.
None, zero.
Not anywhere.
Well, I do have another care home.
That's yours.
Yes.
So you manage that.
I'm there, yes.
Yeah, so okay. You're still using your license.
Yes, but not with El Mirage Group Home. Right, not this particular
understood.
Case, correct.
If you were to sell that home or to hang your certificate at another location sometime in the future, what activities do you believe you should be participating in on a regular basis? It's not, this one's your business. I'm assuming that you take care of business.
Yes.
If your license is somewhere else, or your certificate rather.
We have to rein in this procedure.
It seems like you were being nice to the people who bought the business from you. And in fact, that act of being nice to them meant that you actually weren't being that nice to the residents that you left behind. I think that's the problem.
Correct. So if I were to have my license going to another facility, how I would convey myself is based on the regulation is that before I hang my license, make sure that as of the day that I hang my license, that I am in compliance. I will be responsible for that, no matter if the owner is involved or not. It actually falls on my license.
And you would go and do
compliance in terms of the HR file, making sure that everything, the residence chart, is all within the compliance of the Article 8.
So, when did the resident move in that didn't have a service plan? Again, I'm looking at what the state has provided based on their investigation. Was it during the time that you guys owned it, or was it during the time that someone else owned it?
I'm not sure because I don't have the chart, but June, and I can't recall. So whatever the findings of the surveyor, we provided the plan of care. And so if that was part of that, then I can't recall.
Between E2 and E3 and all that.
Right. Unfortunately, they don't give us all of that.
Because they're talking here about a half bed radio and
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What are the regs when it discusses half rails or bed rails or any of those items? Can you tell me the reg on that?
As far as I can recall in the manager's school is that care home is not allowed to have any type of rails. It don't matter if it's half, a quarter, or full. That's a part of restraining that I believe assisted living homes are not allowed. Nursing home, yes.
I would be okay with the board's recommendation, but I would change it to the service plans and the personnel requirements.
Well, it's the same in a nursing home. It's the same in a nursing home.
Oh, same. Yeah. Oh, even with the doctor's order?
Yep.
Oh.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, what do you think, Madam Chair?
Well, I was just saying, she wasn't present in the home, but her license was hanging. They could have taken the patient in or another resident in without the service plan, and she wouldn't have known it because she wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like you're doing people a favor, yeah. Or you feel like you're doing them a yeah. favor. Were you receiving any compensation?
Zero.
That's right.
Mm. Wow. So again, your effort to be nice to them, unfortunately, left some vulnerable residents behind, which I'm sure wasn't your intention. I would be good with some education.
Okay.
I think there's a pretty good grasp on what roles are, but maybe a little refresher in some of the responsibilities of a manager.
I was gonna let
her
do it if she wanted to do it, Susan.
Let me find the recommendation here. It's page 91. I just lost my head. I know mine keeps going in and out. Okay. Based on the information contained, oh, was that Fred? No, there's Ken.
I'd like to make a comment just hearing off of what Charles said. I support your motion. So, it's unfortunate that the timing of the circumstance, but one said is that a lot of these things happened before she sold the home. So, they really come under, or they all followed their first certification. Her deficiencies were in a number of different areas. Not just with what service plan, there's the environmental safety, tax council, different things like that. If the recommendation is for the course and exam, does that seem like too much, or would you consider other educational requirements in lieu of actually doing the course and exam?
Not the whole course.
Right.
Yeah, can I agree with you? I don't think it's necessary for the whole course, but just a specific refresher. Continuing education might be what we need to do.
I'll float something out there, we'll see.
Okay.
Based on the information contained in the investigator report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B and 3, ARS 44610, AACR 4-33-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2178 from involving manager Catherine Sardella. And the board offered a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $462. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion of each of the following areas. We were going to do service plans, personnel requirements, medication management. Any costs of the probation are those of the licensee or certificate holder.
I'll second. All right, it's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Member Randolph?
Aye. Sorry.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Dr.
Villafranca?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. So that is all of the list that I have full of complaint cases of people who is here. So I'm going to move down to item number 8. Individual board review, consideration and action on applicant's temporary and or permanent administrator license or manager certificate. If approved, pending passing all required examinations within the subsequent time frame before the license or certificate will be denied. And I'm going to ask Mona Winter to conduct this part of the hearing. And the first person up is Anthony Iloretta. All right, Anthony, come right up here to the front, please. And Mona, if you would like to present, please.
On October 22nd, 2021, Anthony Iloretta applied to become a certified assisted living facility manager. His application was administratively complete on November 9th, 2021. He answered truthfully to the questions if he had ever been charged with a criminal offense. Anthony Iloretta was arrested twice for DUI, once in 2004, and members, I wrote down 2014 in error. It was 2004.
Okay, thank you.
Once again in 2019. The 2004 record was not available per the court's letter to it, or statement to us. Thank you.
All right, excuse me just a moment. Mr. Crump, what's the page number, please, for these?
It is 920.
920. All right. Would you like to give us the circumstances, sir?
2004, just moved recently to the Valley, started a new job, and there was a meet and greet with everybody. Didn't know the seriousness of that, like of having a DUI at the time, moving to Arizona. And I just had a few too much. Only had a couple, three, four. Drove home, not thinking about it, and was pulled over. You know, regret that totally for both those violations. And the most recent one, just went blank. I went to go see the Broadway show Wicked. As you know, the area is kind of congested, parked far away. I was actually in an Uber going home when I forgot my keys in my car. So I had to walk all the way back to my car, and without thinking, just started driving. And then next thing you know, I got pulled over. I regret my actions, and hopefully I want to just forget about it and continue and go on with my life.
All right, so since that was your second DUI, did you have jail time with that?
I did. I paid all my fines, tried to get it done as fast as possible.
When did it get cleared up?
Yeah, everything's all cleared up.
Now, when did it? About 18 months?
No, I did it really quickly, before the end of the year, 2019.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't have any probation?
Driver's license, yes.
How long?
A year.
And you have a fingerprint clearance card?
Yes.
Did you have to get a good cause exception?
Good cause? I had a fingerprint clearance card from a while ago.
Okay. So I think they just still have a restriction on the back.
Yeah, they put a restriction on the back.
Did they put a restriction on it? Okay.
Yeah. And what will you do if we grant you this? What is your plan?
My plan is not to ever do that again.
Besides that, I would never want to do it again.
I have. I just got married, have a family. I do not want to go through that again and embarrass my family. And I want to, you know, take care and provide for my family. I know my wife, if either of us has a drink, none of us is driving. We kind of designate that.
I meant, what are you going to do with your managers?
What are you going to do with your license?
I want to grow and learn about the business. I've been in healthcare for a while now, so I've been in physical therapy. I currently work as a caregiver, and I can see the opportunity. I can see what caregivers are lacking and what managers are lacking. Hopefully, I can blend it together and maybe provide service, good service to a facility or a home.
Just for the board. The 2019 wasn't just a couple of drinks, and if it was,
it was a container.
Not only that, but he was going in the wrong direction. So there was, I would say, you would have, in my opinion, you'd have to be severely intoxicated to drive a car going in the wrong direction. I know that what we do in our past doesn't always say who we are today. And coming clean and just telling the truth really lets us know who you are and who's sitting before us.
And those are both misdemeanors then? They were misdemeanors?
Yes. I did not drive the wrong way.
No. The second one was identified as criminal. 2019.
Correct.
It says there was an open container of liquor in the car.
What type of stuff did you have to do to rectify your record?
Did they have you do any alcohol classes. I do jail time. I did do a month in home house arrest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, paid a bunch of fines. The open container was an old small little bottle that was in the console. I did not know, my friend didn't know I had. I guess it opened and leaked.
What are you still drinking?
Am I still drinking?
Anything. What are you drinking? You're off alcohol.
I'm not off alcohol completely. I'll have a beer again. Like if I have a drink, wife will drive. Or I will catch an Uber.
You had to blow right in your car for...
Yes, I did, for like a year. Year two.
Yeah.
2 years.
Yep.
Madam President, Board members, just for clarification, I believe the he wasn't driving in the wrong direction. It improper use of two-way left turn. So probably driving.
Oh, in the middle.
Yeah.
In the middle.
Anthony, have you held any other state licenses for healthcare?
No.
Okay. Physical therapy assistant, or you said you were working?
I was an athletic trainer. Certified athletic trainer.
Okay, so you were.
But I was never like state licensed. It was like a while ago.
So currently you're working as a caregiver,
yes.
So you have to have a fingerprint card.
Yes.
And on the back of that card, it probably has some kind of restriction about you driving other people or something like that.
Yes, in my caregiver job, I do not drive people
right
now.
Yeah, I was just going based off of where it states. It caused the drivers, half of the Toyota to be traveling against the flow of traffic.
Yeah, I think that's in the middle lane.
Yeah, in the middle lane.
Mm-hmm. And at the time, I believe it was a lot of construction, so. I
mean, how long have you worked as a caregiver?
I'm sorry?
How long have you worked as a caregiver?
Since June. Yeah, I wanted to better my life, and I have family who does caregiving, and it led me to this direction. So I wanted a new start.
In a small center or a big?
It's at Belmont Village.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
We don't have any additional things yet.
I would say yes with some stipulations. I think, you know, every time we come here, we learn something. And I think having him come to the board to do quarterly check-ins for a year, I would be okay. That would be my recommendation.
So he would come to the meeting, like, quarterly, just to a board meeting, kind of check-in?
Every 3 months for how many times?
For at least a year.
For a year.
And he can't have any...
All right, you
want to
make a motion?
So there'd be an offer and consent agreement for licensure with the stipulation that he show up quarterly to report to the board?
Right.
Okay.
For 1 year.
That would be my motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call,
please. Would we be doing in that quarterly any kind of criminal background check from our perspective? We would expect him to tell us.
That's correct.
Yeah, we would not be able to do that criminal background check until we got information that something happened or on his referral.
And he does currently hold a fingerprint clearance card.
He does, yes.
So if he were to have any issue with law enforcement,
we would know
that he gets fingerprinted, it flags it, we would know immediately.
Okay. Yeah. And that license, I mean, that fingerprint card was never...
It does expire this month, which I was going to do like now.
Okay, yeah. So it was never invalid or anything. They just sent in things, the restriction on the back.
Yes,
yeah. Okay.
You keep the same thing in every.
Yeah.
My new daughter is working through this.
Yes. All right, can I have a roll call now? Make a motion on the floor, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. We'll see you in 3 months.
Thank you, Madam President.
You're welcome. I'm going to call Maureen Maddie. Please come forward and have a seat.
This is page 938.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate having page number. That is so helpful. Perhaps somehow we can put the page number beside each of the agenda items, and that way we would be able to just look quickly. All right, Mona, would you present this case, please?
On August 31st, 2021, Maureen Maddie applied to become a certified assisted living manager. Her application was administratively completed on October 25th, 2021. She answered truthfully to the questions if she had ever been charged with a criminal offense. On May 31st, 2013, Matthew pled guilty to conspiracy to make fictitious and or fraudulent claims by defrauding an after-school program in Texas. Matty was required to attend 500 hours of residential drug and alcohol program with the Bureau of Prisons. She was sentenced to 60 months and to pay restitution of $1,600,000. Upon release, Matty was on supervised probation for 6 years.
Wow, all right, May, you want to tell us what happened, how this occurred?
In 2010 and 2013, I had a after-school program in the state of Texas.
And where in Texas?
I worked in various school districts, Dallas being one of those, Fort Worth, Houston, and some of the other ones by the body. I don't remember what the other ones. But I got Dallas ISD complaint to the federal government for services that I was huge. I had a lot of kids, and that was a big mistake. I should have, you know, stayed small and been able to contain what was going on. So I had a lot of students, and I had a lot of teachers in different locations and different schools. Unfortunately, my mom was here sick. She kind of was getting assignments, and I got sidetracked. And some of the hours that were not taken care of, I guess the papers got filled in that the services were provided that were not provided. And it was my job to make sure that it was done right, but I did not do that. So with that going on, I got Dallas ISD complaint to the feds, and I got investigated. We had already stopped doing the programs because the program was shut down nationwide. But I was still investigated and found guilty and was sentenced in court in Dallas. And I did going for about 38 months, and I was on 2 years probation that ended in 2019. And then I relocated to Arizona last year. So since then, I've been trying to do a lot of things. I went back to school, did a certification in applied behavior analysis, which I've been approved by the board to take the exam. I just took it once, I didn't pass. I'm still working on it, so I'll be a licensed applied behavior analyst. I am a church member. I know I did wrong, and I have learned, you know, I've learned through my mistakes. And I am trying to be a better parent. Where I was gone, my sister died. She left me triplets that I have to take care of. I have a son who just graduated Friday from Texas Tech. So I'm trying to be a good role model for the kids. And I work a lot with children, so I know how important it is to be a good teacher and a good role model. I work with a lot of children with autism and disabilities. And I have a caregiver license that I work with most of the time, part-time. Arizona caregiver license.
And you want to be a manager?
Yes.
Talk to me about the restitution. $1,613 and $613,733.11.
So according to the feds, the total money that I have been given was, they made an assumption that I only worked 25% of the money. So the restitution is based on 75% of the money that
I received. So where are you paying this back?
I've been paying.
You have a payment program? You have a payback program?
Yes.
Do we have evidence of that?
No.
With the paperwork.
We don't have evidence that she's actually needing that.
We need that.
I don't know on this. I really don't. I mean, if you defraud the feds, we're allowing this individual in with our residents to care for our residents who may or may not be able to make decisions. Families may or may not be present. I'm not comfortable. I'm just not.
I'm not comfortable either with it, because I, in my mind anyway, this is the wrong kind of environment to have the exposure to the amount of money that comes through with vulnerable adults who many times are compromised in terms of abilities. And you can have the best of intentions, but it's all sloshing around, plus you owe
$1 million
loads of money. And I just think that's a long time to do that in my mind. Can you tell me a little bit more about the 5 years, I think you said 1 year probation.
2 years probation.
2 years probation.
Yes.
And then it was 6 years?
She said 6 years probation, but I didn't know it was 2 years probation.
So how long have you been off probation?
Since July of 2019.
July of 2019.
Yes, and I have, that was a one-time offense and I haven't done anything wrong. And when you're in probation, anything you do is just like the fingerprint in that is just, you know, even if I get stopped for a traffic sign, it would show up with, you know, with the police or the record. But I haven't been in trouble anymore. I haven't done anything else. I'm trying to change, you know, trying to reform. And I look forward to a better future. So
I would
plead with you to reconsider, because I know I made a mistake.
I think this is the wrong time and place to do that. I would feel much better personally, quite honestly, in 5 years if she came back and would really demonstrate what else she's learned, what else she's done, what kind of money and repayment she's made. That would be a whole, maybe different discussion. But right now, I'm very, very uncomfortable with proceeding with this.
I agree with you.
I do have a question to clarify. When it came to, so you were found guilty of overbilling,
and
right?
Yeah, that was
billing for hours in
2013, yes.
Did I understand you correctly, this, it wasn't you who physically filled out the paperwork?
No, I had many schools and many teachers.
You had many
yes.
teachers who I filled out paperwork, and it was your job to oversee what was being done,
yes.
and that's what didn't happen.
And I had people go out, because I had different schools in different school districts,
right.
and different tutors, and people also went around taking the snacks and overseeing the teachers.
Okay,
but
so
I was the owner.
You were the owner, but
yes.
you couldn't physically...
I couldn't teach all the kids, no, I had
no,
teachers.
No, I understand that.
Yes.
I'm asking, did you physically submit the extra hours that you got paid for, or were those submitted by the employees themselves?
When the teachers sent me whatever they sent me, I billed that.
Okay.
Because they came through my system, so I cannot say, yeah.
Okay.
I had to be the one that bills through my system.
And so
yes.
the oversight that you should have had, you
yes.
didn't.
I failed.
The hours that they billed.
Yes, I failed.
Okay.
Madam President, board members, just at a point of clarification, we do have a conviction for fraud.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, regardless of how, you know, it may not be her fault, but we do have a conviction, so there clearly was evidence of fraud.
Yeah.
Second of all, if the board is going to deny licensure, just make sure that you cite one of the reasons under 36446.07.
Mm-hmm.
And B1 is for conviction of a felony or misdemeanor involving moral turpitude.
And I'm just curious, I mean, I don't even have to get into this, but it says here that she had to do 500 hours of drug and alcohol program.
No,
so,
it was a program in the prison, not...
It says drug and alcohol.
Yes, because...
I mean, you're telling me that it was that you failed to oversee who was billing what and how, but it... My opinion, I don't think a judge would make you go through drug and alcohol.
It was voluntary. It wasn't like I
I'm
must
sure it was
do
voluntary,
it. Yes.
but I'm just curious
yes.
why drug and alcohol.
Well, that it
is
the Bureau.
It is a Bureau behavior change program. It's more like a behavior change program.
Okay.
It's like,
what was, give me that 36 what?
36446.07.
Yeah, 446.07 B1.
And that's about half a day every day for 1 year.
So I would just, Madam Chair, I would make a motion to deny based on 36-446.07.
B1.
For a conviction of a felony or a conviction of a misdemeanor involving moral turpitude.
All right, I second that motion. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Our next case is Janine Sharon. Janine Sharon, please have a seat. All right, Maureen, will present that case, please.
On August 29, 2021, Janine Sharon applied to become a certified assisted living facility manager. Her application was administratively completed on September 24, 2021. She did answer truthfully to the question if she had ever been charged with a criminal offense. On August 29, 2009, Sharon was arrested for disorderly conduct with offensive gestures and language, a Class 1 misdemeanor. She pled guilty and was fined $200.
All right, Ms. Sharon, would you like to tell us what happened?
First off, I want to say I'm from New Jersey. Not that that makes any excuses for offensive gestures, but it's more common. I went to Salt River with my son. He had graduated high school that year, and with my fiance at the time. And the river ended sooner than I had been there like 2 years before. And the river ended, and there was a lot of people, like, I don't know, banging up to each other, and people were falling. Some college kids came to help, and there was a police officer. He was standing there. He was wearing waders, and I said something offensive like, are you just gonna stand there, or can't you help? And that was no sooner out of my mouth before I was cuffed and arrested. I am an RN. I carry a license. Very sorry, and my son witnessed that. My son, who just graduated high school, so I clearly learned my lesson.
Had you been drinking?
No, I hadn't been drinking because I took my son and his friend, and so I think that's why I panicked, is because I was supposed to be the responsible adult, and they were going down the river, and so I didn't think it was like college kids, scantily clad, responsibilities to get my son and his male friend, and so that's why I mean, it should have been my responsibility, but I couldn't get them. I had no idea where they were gonna end up. I know that's not funny, but like, I was like, oh, who's gonna get them?
No, I'm just asking because, you know, it might go to your mindset of why you would make an offensive statement to an officer. Was he in a uniform?
Yeah, well, he was wearing I think I knew he was an officer, but he was standing there. And
sure.
Definitely bad judgment. Definitely learned my lesson.
So you just asked him if he was, like, you're not going to help?
Yeah.
With an obscenity.
With an obscenity.
It says obscene gesture.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that I got the gesture out. There was some arguing, but it was just, I think it's what I said to him.
What was the arguing?
Again,
we have the court document here. We have the police report. So what was the argument?
I'm sorry, I think argument might not be the right word. I think the word is panic. Like, I was freaking out that this river was, they were just gonna go on forever.
You were worried about them getting out of the river safely?
Yes. And so there were a lot of people.
It was the end of the tubing.
Yes,
part.
And it ended before I'd been there before. It like ended without us knowing. Like, this is it. You're coming to an end. There was a little bit of a boat, so we weren't ready. We're untying and everything, and people are going. And There were college kids that I believe I was holding up, but they were also trying to help my, and that's where the, help my son and his friend. And I don't think my son and his friend were upset about it, but I was.
And are you still with probation? Or the probation is over?
Oh, there wasn't. I just had to pay a fine.
Just a $200 fine?
Yeah.
36-month probation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm out of that. It was 2009. I've since had three kids. And
Were you a licensed RN at the time that this happened?
Yes, I was.
And what did the nursing board do with this, if anything?
Nothing.
Did you report it to them?
I reported it.
Thank you.
Immediately.
Tell me about your RN work experiences and whether or not in the years you've held that license, you've had any disciplinary measures in the places of work for temper, loss of control, abusive behavior, any things like that.
I have never. I've worked in the ER, I've worked SNF, and now I predominantly work assisted living. I've never had any disciplinary action for temper or bad language or...
No write-ups or verbal warnings?
No, sir.
What would you do with your manager's certificate? What's your plan?
To be a manager at a community. Right now I am the nursing director at the Fountains in Tucson, and so I would probably move on. Our director is retiring in, I think, January 1st.
And since 2009, you've had no involvement with any enforcement?
No involvement, not even a parking ticket. Really humbled me.
And the current place where you work, have they asked you to get your managers?
They have.
Can you step in? Yeah. Okay.
I would move to approve.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved to approve her application for permanent manager. Passing the license of the declaration. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kim?
Aye.
I can't hear you calling the name.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our last one is Valerie Fernandez. Is she present? Please come forward.
Page 955.
Page 955, thank you. Mona, if you will please present.
On November 5th, 2021, Valerie Hernandez applied to become a certified assisted living facility manager. Her application was administratively completed on November 22nd, 2021. She answered truthfully to the question if she had ever been charged with a criminal offense. On April 2nd, 2017, Valerie Fernandez was arrested for assault, a misdemeanor, and domestic violence.
All right, would you like to tell us what happened then?
Yes, so in the end of 2016, early 2017, me and my ex-husband at the time, we were married 12 years, moved down from Washington State, and he got a med board from being in the Army, having four tours, and he was kind of struggling with, he was struggling with PTSD.
Excuse me, could you get a little closer to the microphone?
Yes.
Thank you.
He was struggling with PTSD, and we got into an altercation, and someone heard us kind of arguing and disputing over things, and someone had called the cops, and they found that I was the one who started the altercation.
Did it involve anything more than verbal?
No, there was like pushing and shoving, so it was physical.
Was anybody taken to the hospital or evaluated for injuries?
No, it was like tugging of sweaters and shirts sort of thing. That's what happened.
So I was reading your response. fine, San. It said you become a care tech and certified caregiver, but it says I still have not been able to be a nurse. So why is that?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
It said in your response, I still have not been able to be a nurse.
Oh, yes, because I've always wanted to be a nurse. My oldest daughter has special needs, and I've always been very much into healthcare, and I've always wanted to be an RN. So being that my husband was in the Army for 12 years, I stayed home and took care of our four children. So along the way, I just did baby steps with schooling, with as far as obtaining credentials, became a medical assistant, a patient care tech, and a certified caregiver. So
you didn't apply to be a nurse? You're not?
No. Probably. No.
Okay.
No.
Where do you work now?
Assisted living home. It's called Essential Patient Care, and I am the owner of it, and I hired another manager to manage the home while I went to school and was raising my four children on my own because my husband was going through, I was going to inpatient care at the VA. So I kind of, things have just been prolonged and now I'm ready to go. I want to just move forward with it, doing it myself.
So there was no physical contact at all?
It was like pushing and shoving. We did, like there was no like punching or slapping, but we did put our hands on each other as far as pushing and shoving, yes.
Right, but you had marks on them.
Yes.
Pushing, yeah, shoving doesn't give you a mark.
Well, there was...
Let me just explain. The board has been issued all your court documents, police records. We have everything,
yes,
that we're looking at.
Yeah.
So the testimonies you gave officers then, if it's the truth, you don't need a good memory.
Correct.
You have to be truthful with the board because our job is to make sure that if we grant you that license, we're putting you in charge potentially of residents who are vulnerable. So we just want to know the person that's actually sitting before us. What happened way back when doesn't necessarily, and I said it before, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the same person sitting in front of us.
Yeah. So I have not read the report since it's been, I have not looked at it. I think I might have faxed it in. I didn't read it verbatim. So whatever it says on the report is in fact what happened. We definitely put our hands on each other. There was no, to my knowledge, like slapping or punching or anything of that nature, but there was certainly grabbing of each other's clothes and garments and arms, but no physical like punching or slapping. So whatever the report says is in fact true. I'm not swaying every from that. I just don't know exactly what it says because I have not read it in a long time because it's been behind me for so long. It's barely came up since I tried applying for my fingerprint clearing card, which I have to do a good cause and provide all the information, and now yet again, so.
Was your husband at the time also cited?
No, he was not cited. I was pretty upset about that at the time, but again, it doesn't really matter now. He was not cited, no. I think we went to court and they dismissed it. He asked for it to be dismissed, and so nothing ever came of that.
That is in the officer's report on page.
That it was dismissed?
No, the husband asked for it to be dismissed, and
okay.
We do have a letter of dismissal, I believe, as well.
And she can't get a fingerprint clearance card unless she does a good cause exception.
I do have it. What I'm saying is I went through all that.
Yes.
I do have the.
Right, it was denied and you had to go through the good,
yes,
cause exception.
Yes.
Because of the domestic violence.
Correct.
That was on the record.
Yes.
But does that mean she doesn't have her license? I mean that she doesn't have a fingerprint card?
No, she had to just go through the good cause exception.
Okay.
She couldn't get it any other way.
Okay.
Have you taken any kind of domestic violence courses, how to de-stress yourself?
Yeah, I was required to take courses.
If you're going to be around residents, trust me, it gets stressful, especially when you're dealing with the residents, their families, the family dynamics. You're dealing with state surveyors.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a lot of different individuals that are coming at you in many different angles.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
What do you do to make sure that that stress is maintained and that there's no chance of an outburst? What would you do?
My level of stress now at this time in my life was way different than it was then. Again, we were going through devastation with my husband getting out of the Army. Our whole lives changed. We moved all of our children out to Arizona. It was very devastating. So as far as thinking clear, I definitely had tunnel vision. So again, my life has changed since then. I mean, I run, I have four children I have to be responsible for, and residents that I care for very much, and I work as a caregiver, so.
And have you had any incidents, I'll go back to what Member Stanton had mentioned earlier, have you had any disciplinary action from anyone for any reason involving conduct?
You mean something else again since that? Mm-hmm. No. Like another altercation of some sort? No.
Nothing at work?
No.
She owns her own assisted living.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
How big
and
is
the designated manager there?
How big is the home?
Just 8 beds.
Do you live there?
No, I don't.
Who's the manager there currently?
The manager who's licensing the place is Mike Snyder.
I would be okay, but again, I would go back to, she would need to attend board meetings.
For how long and how often?
Because again, I think we learn. I know that this happened in the past, but just for my comfort, I would say attend board meetings at least quarterly.
Did I hear you correctly saying that your intention is to take over the manager's job at the home that you own?
Yes.
So if this is approved, then that would happen pretty quickly?
Yes.
Okay. Did you pass the exam?
No, not yet. I actually I had a date, I believe. I don't remember the date. My ex-husband just passed away 2 weeks ago, so I rescheduled it because I think, thank you, I think that date landed, I think, 3 days after or something. I can't recall the exact date.
January 6th is your exam.
Yes, January 6th
is your exam. So you rescheduled?
Yes, because I rescheduled, correct.
Okay. Are you prepared to make a motion?
Well, yeah. Could you tell me a little bit more about the fight that you and your husband had, and what set you off in your mind to have to be physically aggressive and verbally aggressive in that situation?
Yeah, he was drinking, and I wanted him to give me the keys, and I didn't want him to drive, and just one thing turned into another, an altercation of me trying to be right and me trying to prove him wrong, correct him, and him doing the same thing. And it came from that.
Had you been drinking?
Yes, I was drinking.
And he was drinking?
Yes, yeah.
So you were trying to get the keys from him, but were you going to drive?
Well, we were at his parents' house, and so that's kind of what happened, and I didn't want him to leave. And so that was the altercation where the neighbors had heard us outside. So no, I wasn't trying to leave, I was trying to get him not to leave.
Not to drive.
Yeah.
How long have you owned the home?
Let's see, it became licensed August 31st.
Just this past August?
Yes, yes.
And have you gone through a survey yet?
To have the home opened and licensed? Yeah, that's where I got the license.
Tell me about that. Sometimes that's fairly stressful.
No, his VHS is just a 7 survey.
It's always.
Yeah, it was stressful. We've been working on it for months, I think half a year, longer than that. And I was doing private care under my caregiver's license, so I was working in another home as well, which that home has since then closed down. But just trying to come up with the money to purchase all the stuff, the handrails, the everything, all the beds, everything. So yeah, it was stressful, but at the same time, I think we did everything we could in the timely manner to purchase our policy procedures and all the contracts and everything. So it was we did get anxious, but I would say it was stressful. It was an enjoying stress, I guess, put it that way.
You passed the first time, they didn't have to come back.
No, they didn't have to come back, no.
You can't have a deficiency in every zone.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
No.
Yeah, not to open.
In other states, you can.
Not to open. It has to be deficiency.
Right.
So what's the pleasure of the board?
I like Charles' suggestion.
President Campbell?
Yes.
Can I just ask a quick question before we get into too much of the deliberation? So if we do a consent agreement, it's going to be disciplinary.
She doesn't have a license.
Disciplinary consent agreements go on her record. They get reported to National Practitioner Data Bank. I'm just clarifying if that's the motion or there are other consequences to that other than just attending a board meeting. I just wanted to bring that up.
I will say that that's new because we've done this in the past. And it's never been considered disciplinary action.
Are we able to do a non-disciplinary consent agreement?
No. Not for all of our suspension and probation. Every consent agreement we sent out is disciplinary.
Well, that
wow.
Our concern is not.
So let's
would
be a concern then.
We can't, well, this is for licensure.
Oh, so we can't say that the license is provisional based on that?
You would have
it's
to
still
put
a consent
under some
agreement.
Kind of probation, yeah.
It would have to still be a consent, okay. I don't want to do that.
I just don't know that was the intent of the thought, and I wanted to bring
it
up.
No, it's not my intent. My intent was that, you know, again, we learn a lot. I learn a lot coming here.
Sure.
Every day that we have these meetings, I learn. And it's just our way to do check-ins.
I apologize for interrupting.
Well, then
that's a fair point.
Yes, that is a very fair point because that's not what the board wanted to do.
Right.
So what is the recommendation at this point?
Well, the recommendation is it's up to you. Whatever you guys want to do.
Well, I mean, a lot of concern, would that be bad?
Well, you're giving a license, so you're not taking disciplinary action.
So why discipline?
Or non-disciplinary action. You're just giving a license.
I can say that she's been here, she's asking for the license, so all of this is record. Should something bad occur, she would come back. We have all of this as well. And at that point, we can impose some discipline. I would agree. I think you had a bad incident that occurred some time ago. You've moved on. I would approve a license.
Is that a motion?
I support that.
All right, can we then I'll take your support as a second to that motion?
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my motion, and he just said yes.
So we have a motion to approve licensure.
We have
a
motion to approve licensure as a second. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Good luck.
Now, Madam President, board members, would you like to revisit the Anthony Iloretta case then? Because he will be on probation to show up for you, unless you think that that's necessary in that respect.
I made the motion. I don't want to rescind my motion, okay. Just because that was something that was very, very recent.
Absolutely.
And that was not the first offense, it was the second.
Okay.
Perfect. So for me, that was just his thought process.
All right, so is anyone in the room left to hear a case? Okay, great. I'm going to defer the board president report until next month.
Okay.
I would like to go to item number 7. ISA with the Respiratory Care Board. And Executive Director Comfort, do you want to explain that or should we just make a blanket statement?
I'm happy to bring a little light to it. So if you were those on the board back in July when I was the interim director, there was an ISA between NCIA board and respiratory board for me to work here on an interim basis.
Sorry, John, I can't hear you on the phone.
We're grabbing mics.
I apologize. This is Jack Comfort. If the board recalls, or you weren't here at the time, there was an inter-service agency agreement between Respiratory Care Board and the NCIA board back in July. That has changed several times. I was the interim director, and then became the full-time director here, and now Respiratory has asked for help in the form of 25% of my time until they hire an executive director. So this ISA puts those terms in writing, and the date will be from September to probably no later than mid-January. It's just to tie up some loose ends with human resources and payroll. But the takeaway is that Respiratory is going to be paying 25% of my salary until it ends. So that helps this board.
All right, then I so move that we approve that arrangement. Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph? Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Motion carries. All right, so I've got a question now. So to move to number 11, review discussion and possible action on executive director's policy and procedure for approving issuing administrative licenses.
President Campbell, members of the board. President Campbell, members of the board. That policy is not yet finalized, so
we'll
I was hopeful.
This till next month.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see, annual conflict of interest review and board member disclosure.
Madam President, members of the board, materials are in your book. This is a follow-up from the Auditor General's report from back in late 2020-21. It's in your board materials on the computer. It's not in your packet, I don't believe. Now is the time. We're supposed to do this on a yearly basis for all board members to declare any conflicts of interest, and those would be from current employment, from, lack of better words, investments, that there may be a financial pecuniary conflict. You have to disclose those on a yearly basis to the board staff pursuant to that policy and procedure. So I put it on the board agenda to make sure that we talked about it, and all board members are going to send me that conflict of interest form if there are any anything that needs to be disclosed.
And the form is in our board packet that's on the computer.
That's
you want us to print it and then do it all and then
please, or I can have staff email it out, or maybe even make some copies.
Yeah, just ask staff to email it out to everyone, and then we'll fill it out and email it back to staff, and then we know it's done.
Thank you. And the conflict of interest is a general statute that not only this board but all other boards have to comply with, and it's being followed up by the Auditor General's office. So it's an administrative thing that I want to make sure that we handle before the end of the year.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Going to item number, Executive Director report, do you have a budget update?
We're doing well with budget. I mean, even though we've had some inconsistencies with staff, we're still under appropriation, and the staff stats will be changing. Our executive consultant is probably going to be done with the board by the end of December, and we have an opportunity to maybe get another position or a halftime that will fill in for that executive consultant position. So okay. I'm happy with it right now.
Thank you. All right, licensing and investigation statistics.
I Nothing at this time.
Thank you very much. See Office of the Attorney General, explain memorandum. Do you have any information?
Well, I don't. It's agenda is under Jack's name, so I think Jack might have to cover this. You guys have the memo. If you have any questions about the memo, let Jack know, or feel free to reach out to me and we can discuss them.
Thank you very much. And regularly scheduled meeting for 2022. Do we have a schedule out yet?
I have it. I didn't get it into materials. I just want to make sure that everybody had the dates for 2022.
I don't recall seeing them.
Second Monday, unless it's a holiday.
Yeah, and those had already been established before current staff is here, but I'll make sure that we send it out to you.
And I'll let you know which ones I'm not going to be.
Thank you very much.
All right, and that takes care of that. So we have finished, and we're going to go back up and just start right down the list with complaint number 21-625, Cynthia Irish. Are you present? No. All right. We're just going to move right down and have and hear.
21-55.
I'm sorry. Oh, wait a minute. 21-55.
We didn't hear that one.
Veronica.
Veronica Berharis.
Yeah.
We didn't hear that one. I'm sorry. I marked it off for some reason.
That's okay.
We're all over the place.
I'm so sorry. All right.
She was. Well,
did you want to say?
Yes. Do what?
Can we take a quick health break?
Yeah, we can take about a 5-minute break. I have to leave at 1 o'clock, and if we're not concluded by 1, our vice chair, Charles, Dr. Villafranco, will continue the meeting so that we can finish. Because I want to clear this agenda completely today so that in January we start off with a brand new slate. Okay, but we'll take a 5-minute break, okay, Ken?
Okay, sorry,
thank you.
Should be pretty easy since they're not going to be here.
Who?
The state of California adjudicate the RCF.
I'm going to call the meeting back to order. Ken, are you on the phone? And Fred, are you on the phone?
Okay.
Fred, are you there?
Fred, here.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move to item number 21, or complaint number 2155, Veronica Barajas.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2155. Manager Veronica Barajas holds certificate number 07361. Looks like that was issued back on November 1st of 2001. On April 19th of 2021, DHS conducted an on-site assistant living compliance inspection at Rosa's Little House 2 assistant living home, which is located in Tucson, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 5 deficiencies in 4 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiencies, and these deficiencies were included five deficiencies in 4 different areas. The repeat deficiency was that the manager failed to ensure medication stored by the facility was in a separate locked room, closet, cabinet, or self-contained unit used only for medication storage. The original deficiency in that area had occurred on March 16th of 2020. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions.
All right, thank you. And is Ms. Barajas on the phone?
No.
All right, she is not present on the phone.
That's you coming back.
Oh.
That's your voice coming back through the system. Somebody has their phone.
Oh, I thought you had
their
answering me. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
All right, let the record show, please, that she is not present on the phone or in person.
So I think most of this pretty much dealt with medication management and the storage of medications was the biggest issues that she had. And then the fact that she had a caregiver that didn't speak English, that was caring for the residents. It was a resident speaking Spanish, I don't know. Was the caregiver speaking Spanish? I don't know.
And COVID screening.
And COVID screening.
Uh-huh. And she didn't show up for this hearing.
And
sure.
She runs
that is the most critical.
Do you know if she made contact?
Have we had any contact with them?
I know that she submitted her responses.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's, because it's a repeat, and it's drugs, and we know the nature of the residents that are generally in these homes, it strikes me that she doesn't really follow the rules very well, because that's a real easy one to resolve the first time you get it.
Right.
And you go, oh, I got a lock on.
Now, sometimes I will say that sometimes it's not actually the manager, the caregiver is there dispensing the meds, takes it out, puts it on the counter, inspector sees the meds on the counter, will cite them for that. In a group home setting, it is a little bit different that they will cite them for that. But I agree. I think, you know, because it is a repeat deficiency, she would have gotten it the first time. It even submitted something to us where she has done retraining the staff on it.
I'm not sure I'm suggesting that her certificate be removed. But I am suggesting, I think there needs to be some
education,
real good education of a significant way that gets her attention, that we never expect to see this again as an issue. And that means that that's education for her staff as well as herself, and so be it. But it obviously didn't penetrate the first time, and a year later, it didn't penetrate the second time.
So we think in education and medication management, communicable diseases.
But I rely on people that are in the field more than me.
Would you think medication and communicable diseases would be enough?
I think so. Does somebody else have something?
I'd say resident rights too. Because if you can't speak English.
That's right. If you can't, they can't understand the caregiver, and the patient has no way to communicate.
Personnel requirements.
Right, personnel requirements.
Then I'm prepared to make a motion if everybody's okay.
Please do.
Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.073 and ARS 446.10, AACR 433-407A and B1 for a professional conduct and complaint number 21-55 involving manager Veronica Barajas, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days from that be forwarded formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate of state suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation of all terms to be completed in 3 months. Reimbursement in the amount of, I'm looking.
$397.
Let me get back to my page. $397 and 3 hours continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion in each of the following areas. Medication management, communicable diseases, resident rights, and personnel requirements, any cost of the probation or those of the certificate holder.
Mm-hmm. Your second. All right, so you need a second. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
I have one quick question.
Yes.
Can a home, if they chose, make it a strictly foreign language versus English home?
It's in the,
if they wish, are there regs that say no?
The regulations say that they have to be able to clearly speak and communicate in English.
Read and speak
that's
English.
The basic.
Yeah, that's in the regs.
Probably mostly because of documentation.
Everything's in English. It's going to be in English.
Now, I do know that there is a home in Tucson.
We're getting a little off the agenda. I apologize for interrupting. It's just not agendized.
Okay, we're going to move to item number 2165, Cynthia Irish. Are you present on the phone, Ms. Irish? She is not present on the phone or in the room. All right, staff, please present.
Madam President, members of the board, this is case number 2165 involving certificate holder Cynthia Irish. Certificate number is 11342. It looks like it was originally issued on May 16th of 2017. This complaint is from a DHS referral on May 19th of 2021. They conducted an on-site inspection at Silver Creek Inn Memory Care Community, which is located in Mesa, Arizona. The deficiencies identified, there were four different deficiencies that were identified in two different areas. The manager failed to ensure there were certain policies and procedures in place, and failed to ensure that a written service plan completed no later 14 days after a resident's arrival. I don't have anything further unless there's questions.
All right, can I have the page number, please?
It starts on 540.
And she started there in 2019, October 2019, according to her letter that she accepted the assisted living manager position full time at that point. And then the inspection occurred in 2021. So this would have been her full.
For her full inspection, you're right.
And so her.
Respond.
And she didn't respond.
Have we had any contact with her at all?
The only information that I can discern is on page 552. And that may be taken from our records as far as when she was filed a notice of appointment for that location.
Do you know how large her home is? Is this a home or a facility?
It's a facility. It's a Kelch memory care building.
Kelch?
Yeah. Kelch is the only.
Kelch memory care facility, Ken.
Aren't those usually around 80?
They're usually, they're under 100 easily, usually around 50 to 80.
50 to 80 is
all memory care.
All memory care, that could be the population.
Okay, so big place.
Yeah.
The concern here is that she didn't respond to us at all, right?
Not at all.
No response.
Yeah.
And that's concerning, very concerning.
Well, it is. I think in this one, I would, let's see, 2017, so right certification. I think in this case, I would go for a voluntary surrender, and then you'll have an opportunity to either sign that consent agreement or provide additional evidence why we will move her to formal hearing.
I would support that, Kim.
Would you like me to read it out?
Please.
Okay. Yeah. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, move the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, AACR 433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint case number 21-65 involving manager Cynthia Irish, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: voluntary surrender of licensure.
All second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion is carried. Thank you. We're going to move to item number 2168, Liz Borba. Ms. Borba, are you on the phone? Let the record show that Ms. Borba is not on the phone, nor is she present in the room. Staff, will you present, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam President. This is complaint number 2168 involving Glynis Barboa. Holds certificate number 09882. Looks like it was originally issued August 24th of 2009. This is a staff-generated complaint. We received a notice from DPS that on approximately August 17th of 2021, they suspended her fingerprint clearance card as a result of being arrested. She was arrested for three counts of fraudulent schemes and artifices, felony theft, that occurred in or around August 16th of 2021 in Pinal County. The dates of the offenses that the offenses originally took place look like they were February 1st of 2015, August 1st of 2016, and May 1st of 2017. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions. Mm-hmm. We have not received a response to this complaint from her.
However, we are obligated because it's statutory that they must hold a fingerprint clearance card valid. So this is just a formality in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I would say that based upon the information contained in the investigative report, the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.04D. AAC R433109 and AAC R433109-1 and 2, and complaint number 21-68 involving manager Glennis Baraja, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days and the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. There's the civil monetary penalty of $270 and suspension of the certification until a valid fingerprint clearance card is provided showing evidence of compliance.
I'll second that motion. Been moved and seconded for suspension. Roll call please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
No.
Motion is carried. All right, we're going to move to now. Once she gets her fingerprint card cleared, the suspension will be lifted.
Madam President, members of the board, if she signs that consent agreement, yes.
Okay.
It would she would have complied with it.
How?
Can I ask a quick question of her?
Certainly.
Seamus, are we losing time by offering a consent agreement? Should we just be sending this to hearing and then with the direction from the board that if she doesn't sign that we hold the hearing next month? I don't know how this works here.
Well, with the board in the past, I believe the way that you've done it is that once your fingerprint card is suspended, then you go on administrative suspension. It's not a disciplinary action. You just can't practice until you bring back information.
Right.
Yeah. So then from the board, it would be a letter letting her know you're under administrative suspension because your fingerprint clearance card is now not valid.
So is that a suspension that's issued by the board or is that a suspension that's issued by staff?
Yeah, it can be either way. It's an automatic one. But if the board wants to order it, the board can order it. Yeah. The board can order it.
Madam President, members of the board, if you could direct staff to the motion and vote, I would appreciate it to administratively suspend that license, then we have it on the record and so forth.
Yes, and so that's...
Can I clarify? And then what is the point that there would have to be a process to reactivate? So once a valid fingerprint card is here, everything's fine and dandy, even though she didn't report to the board.
Well, so you can always bring it back before the board if you'd like to. You have that option.
And so let me amend what I had put forth, if I may, because
just
I would like to say...
Just before you do that, do you have a question?
Well, this went past me too fast. I went, no, I should have gone the other way.
Well, we had to leave you the way you are now.
You're right.
Sorry, we're amending the motion, so we're going to revote.
Right. Okay, so I would like to...
I'm sorry, who was just speaking? I can't hear who was speaking.
That was our new board member, Stevens.
Oh, it's Mike, though.
His mic is off. Turn your mic on, please. Thank you. All right, now, Dr. Villafranca is going to restate his motion and redo a motion. So,
hold on a second. I have a question.
Yes.
What was his question about previous motion?
Well, I think the issue is that once she or he gets the fingerprint card taken care of, then, of course, they would have their certification back. I think the issue becomes that there were some serious felonies here, and should this person appear before us, and I think that they should, because they didn't notify the board, and these are some really serious charges.
Yeah, Madam President, Board Member Kidder, the question about the previous vote is that Board Member Stephen wanted to change his vote to the affirmative, and we're still kind of in the middle of the discussion about that.
Okay, thank you. In principle, there's no other option. We have to extend certification now, there could be further issues in the future, but administratively, we have to do this at this point. So I think voting in the affirmative would be a correct response to this motion. Now, then the next question is, do we want this person to come before us to discuss what these charges are? If their fingerprint card gets cleared, then that means that they have the clear charges. I think typically what we do is the legal proceedings that is going to take quite some time. So this person is probably going to come up, they might even come up for the next certification renewal before the legal proceedings are done.
Well, I think Member Kidder, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I believe last month you had two of these, and what you did was you ordered the board to send a letter of administrative suspension. So that would be the same motion for today. And then if the board wants to deal with the actual allegations, you can notice him at another time before he gets that finger.
Right, and I would say, what I would say is, because now we have note that there was some serious charges, I think we have to do our due diligence to investigate those charges. I would instruct board staff to send the administrative suspension that we have to do, we're obligated to do, under the fingerprint clearance issues, but to also open up this investigation into these charges.
Madam President, members of the board.
Do we have to send the motion? The motion is what it is. We have to suspend.
Right.
Then can we instruct board staff to open an investigation into the charges? You know, which we can certainly do. We can't do a whole lot until after the legal proceedings are concluded.
That's correct. So we already passed the motion and it passed to suspend.
Right. But do we really have to do anything further at this time?
No.
No, I would appreciate a motion and a second from the board to administratively suspend the certificate. I think we have the case open and we will not close that because of those allegations are still there and the licensing issue is separate. I think we're good. I just want to get the other motion for the record, please.
So yes, I'll make a motion to administratively suspend and have the board send the letter.
I second. Roll call.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
All right, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to move to item number 2169, Vivian Ruiz. Ms. Ruiz, are you present on the phone? Let the record show that Ms. Ruiz is not present on the phone or in person at the meeting. Okay, staff, present, please.
Madam President, members of the board, complaint number 2169 involving manager Ruiz holds certificate number 11983. Looks like this was originally issued August 18th of 2020. This is a complaint referral from DHS. On March 25th of 2021, DHS conducted an on-site assistant living compliance inspection at Liberty Manor Residency Incorporated, which is located in Phoenix, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified three deficiencies in three different areas. The deficiencies were failed to ensure documentation required by this article was provided within 2 hours of the inspection. The manager failed to ensure a personnel record was available for three of the four sampled employees. And the manager failed to ensure an entry in a residence medical record was not changed to make the initial entry legible. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions.
All right. Have we heard from her?
Madam President, members of the board, let me check.
Looks like we just got her response that she wrote out to when Phil was here.
And that was it?
And that's it. That's all I see.
All right.
I was trying to locate a page for that. Looks like that is on page 657, correct.
And then she's not here today to talk about the case.
You know, I would like to hear from her. I think I would support the letter of concern language in the recommendation, but it hurts me again that she's not bothered to show up to talk to this board.
All right.
I agree, and then there's the issue of did she or someone under her set out to defraud a medical record by changing something that was already documented.
So do we want to...
To next month?
Yes. Why don't we just move this matter to next month and request her presence at the meeting? Is that agreeable with everyone? It's so we're...
Do we have a motion for that, just to make sure?
I'm sorry?
Do we have a motion?
All right, well, then I move that we move complaint item number 2169, Vivian Ruiz, to next month, and with her request for her to please be present at the meeting.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Roll call, please.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph? Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you. We're going to move to item number 2171, Lady Winnie Alanya. Are you on the phone?
She did email and tell me that she wasn't coming.
She did.
She didn't ask for postponement, though. She just said she wasn't coming.
She wasn't going to come. All right. Well, then we'll hear the case staff, please.
Madam President, members of the board, case number 2174 involving Lady Winnie Alawani.
Alawani.
Madam Chair did a good job pronouncing that. I can't. Manager certificate number is 011814. Looks like she has been certified since December 13th of 2019. On June 8th of 2021, Department of Health Services conducted an on-site assistant living facility compliance inspection at Rose Garden Senior Care, located in Tucson, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 7 different deficiencies in 6 different areas. Elizabeth, did we get a response to this? Do you remember?
Yes, I believe she did submit a response.
I believe we did have a response. I don't have anything further unless you have a question.
All right.
Sounds like she's not really good at record keeping.
Obviously, she's, yeah.
She just got rid of everything.
And she kept saying working on it, but you can't work on that stuff.
I don't think she intends to ever be good on it.
Yeah.
I would have responses. I don't think she has any desire to.
I would agree with that. I don't know that education is going to change that thought either.
I don't know either.
I mean, she got rid of schedules.
Turned off the alarms twice.
Oh, I think we need to do a voluntary surrender. I really do. That's very concerning.
I support that.
Thank you.
Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3 and ARS 44610 AACR 43347 AMB1 for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 21-74 involving manager Lady Winnie Alawani, and that the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: voluntary surrender of certification.
I second that motion. It's been moved and seconded for a voluntary surrender. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Archer?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you. We're going to move to item number 2175, This name is familiar.
Fred, we're missing Linda's fudge this year. Tell her I'm missing her fudge.
I'll tell her. That'll make her happy.
Yeah. Is this a new one?
Madam Chair, members of the board, I am handing out this packet because there was difficulty with the upload. I don't think you received all the documents, so.
We heard this guy was at the last meeting. His case was dismissed.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, he was at the last meeting.
Okay.
In November 15th.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay, that. This is, I have this down as case number 74.
In the shredder.
75?
74.
21.
I can pull up the minutes. They're just right on my computer.
All right. There may have been a issue with the notice thing.
Yeah, his case was dismissed.
Okay.
I was going to say, I remember him from last month.
Let's move past it.
All right, then we're going to move to Tito Gobantis, number 2177, item number 13. Mr. Gobantis, are you on the phone? Please let the record show that he is not on the phone nor present in the meeting. Staff, please present.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2177 involving Tito Gobantis. Holds certification number 011488. Looks like that manager certificate was issued on March 14th of 2018. On June 8th of 2021, Department of Health Services conducted an on-site compliance inspection at Vibrant Home, which is located in Phoenix, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 13 deficiencies in several different areas. Those deficiencies are identified in the investigative report. Let's see if we have a response. I don't see a response in the records. Elizabeth, do you remember a response in this case?
No, the only thing, he didn't submit a written response. The only thing he sent was his hospital form, yes.
A year difference.
Yes.
Right, and I see something here. There is a year difference in that form that he submitted, and that it also says that Mr. Gobantis did not address any of the 13 deficiencies and did not provide an explanation as to why they occurred. And since he's a new manager, I would think that he would know what he's doing if he would have gone through the training programs that we certified.
It looks like there is correspondence from him on page 787, dated September 30th. That may be a quasi-response.
Well, I'm concerned about even managing a facility.
Can we get his license if he's suspended?
We can.
I would surrender.
Surrender if he's suspended?
I mean, he's a brand spanking new manager.
Yeah.
He went through it in 2018. These are 13 deficiencies.
That's
in
terrible.
A ton of different areas.
Yeah.
We don't get a response from him. If my board sends me something, I'm going to immediately be worried about my license. I'm going to respond to him. And then the fact that he gives us some documentation of a physician statement from a year prior has no relevance based on the inspection. Based upon the information from the investigative report, the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.073, ARS 44610, AACR 433-407A and B1, for unprofessional conduct complaint number 21-77 involving manager Tito Gobantis, and that the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Voluntary surrender of certificate.
Is there a second?
No second.
It's been moved and seconded for a voluntary surrender of certificate. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder? Member Kidder?
Ken?
Are you on mute, Ken?
Aye.
Okay, he's
on. I can't hear who's calling up the roll call.
Okay.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. We're going to move to item number 2180, Roman Rojas, or Rosas. Are you present on the phone, sir? Please let the record show that he's not present on the phone or in person. Staff, please present.
Madam President, members of the board, this is complaint number 2180 involving manager Rojas. Manager certificate number 10526. Looks like this certificate was originally issued October 10th of 2012. On June 1st of 2021, DHS conducted an on-site assistant living compliance inspection at Ashton Ranch Assistant Living, which is located in Surprise, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 17 deficiencies in 8 different areas.
Looks like he's...
He didn't renew.
He didn't respond.
Right.
We notified DHS to go out because now there's no manager managing the facility.
So what can we do now?
What date did we advise him of the complaint?
This complaint was opened after his license had already expired.
Okay.
We can't do anything?
You can just take no action.
All right, then the board will take no action on this because his manager license has expired.
Kim, are we sure as of today he still does not hold a license?
I can look right now.
Well, he didn't renew.
Well, I'm just curious if he would have done that in between.
Well, no, he didn't, because he would have had to submit a new application, and okay. He did not do that now.
All right. Okay. Well, then we will take no action on this one.
So do you need a motion?
No.
And that's the same for the next one on here, too.
When you voluntarily surrender, you hand your piece of paper in?
You sign it.
You have to sign it.
Yes.
All I'm thinking is with this guy's record, he changes a few numbers, and he goes out to somebody else and says, I'm good to go. How do we stop that?
There's no way we would be able to.
The next one, number 15, complaint 2181, her license also expired.
All right, we're going to go to 2181, Pam Lasinski.
Mona, is your microphone not working?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Elizabeth, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, I think it's not me. You were not hearing Elizabeth.
Yeah, that was me. Can you hear me now?
Yes, come on.
I was letting the board know that the next case on the agenda, case 2181, Pam Lasinski, her license is also expired, and that license expired before we opened the complaint. So it's the same case one you just went over.
You can always reopen the case.
All right, so
thank you.
Do we take no action on this one as well?
Yes, you take.
All right.
Curious, because I'm concerned for the health and safety of the residents in these homes. Can we inform board staff to forward this over to DHS? Because for APS, somebody needs to go out and check if this manager is still holding a license there and it's still hanging, then you've got residents there that are not being cared for by a certified manager. I'm concerned about that.
Well, I would like to add too that I did forward the Roman Rosas complaint 2180 to DHS because he told me on the phone that he did renew his license, even though I saw that he didn't, and he told me he was still practicing at that home.
Good, you need to know that.
Yes, and I get a response from DHS saying they were open to complain against him, so.
I just don't want it to come back to us that we didn't do our due diligence. That's my only concern.
So we need to notify DHS on the next one as well.
Okay.
Do we also need to notify
DHS on the other one as well.
Okay.
So just to cover ourselves, we're both.
And do we also need to notify the AG's office if he's practicing?
No.
Fraudulently?
No, we're telling our AG.
No, so. I'm just saying because the Board of Nursing, if you're found practicing fraudulently as a nurse in the state of Arizona, you go on the fraud list in the AG's office investigation.
You could. I don't know.
Why don't we let DHS investigate first? If they're gone, then there's no issue. If the guy's still there, then. And DHS
to forward
it
then
up to the AG.
Okay. All right, thank you. We're going to move now to, we only have two left, and we're going to be done. Item number 2186, Annalyn Garcia. Garcia, are you on the phone? Please let the record show that she is not present on the phone or in person. Staff, please present.
Hello.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is complaint number 2186 involving manager Garcia, who holds certificate number 010881. Looks like that certificate was originally issued on May 8th of 2014. On March 30th of 2021, DHS conducted a compliance inspection at Dorsey Lane Assisted Living Home located in Tempe, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 7 deficiencies in 5 different areas, which are listed in the investigative report. And let me see here. It does look like we received a response on August 25th in relation to our complaint letter. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions.
Did you say we did not receive anything from Mr. Garcia?
We did receive an answer on October 25th.
She only spends 12 hours a week and has 2 homes.
I'm concerned with that. Very concerned if he's on the account.
Well, if we receive a letter from her, does DHS get the same letter so they can send somebody out to make sure those corrections are made?
Mm-hmm.
No. Can we notify them to go out and do that?
They would accept the plan of correction as it's written.
And then they would maybe do it on site. Mm-hmm. It depends on what the deficiencies were, if they had time to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it looks like she had 2 employees and she didn't even keep records on those 2 employees. Yeah. Took residents in without having documentation within the 90-day period. That's typical in AL that it's usually that one rule that says, did they require continuous medical,
right.
and all, that's usually what that is, and medications and oxygen being stored properly.
So just because we got a letter from her, do we have any reason to believe her?
No.
So she's hanging out dry?
No. I don't think so.
No.
And I'm just surprised no one's coming to the meeting today. There's quite a few.
Right. That didn't come. So, what do we want to do with Mr. Garcia?
And his was issued in 2014?
Yes.
How about we do the whole class?
All right. I'll second it.
Okay, based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3 and ARS 44610, AACR 433-478MB1 for professional conduct and complaint case number 21-86 involving manager Alain Garcia, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days from that to be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of certificate, the state of suspension, as long as terms of consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement in the of investigative costs in the amount of
$425.
Completion of a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion and successful pass of the examination for managers administered by this board. Any cost of probation of those certificate holders?
I second the motion. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Simmons?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Motion carries. On my agenda, I have a Brooks Delaney. Was that delayed until next month? Or am I looking at the wrong agenda?
We didn't have anything on it.
That was
we didn't have anything in our
file. Yeah, Brooks Delaney, item number 21-115. Complaint 21-115.
Did any of you get any?
No.
None of us.
It's on my agenda.
Yeah, I don't see it.
And I don't see it listed here.
That's my bad then.
Very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our agenda. I want to thank Ken and Fred for staying with us on the phone. I want to welcome
Rich. Can I interrupt you real quick?
In a minute, Rich, for coming, and we're happy he's joining our board. Our executive director has something to say.
I apologize, Madam President. Can I get some direction on item 10 on the agenda, the legislative subcommittee or direction?
What legislative subcommittee are you talking about?
I apologize. My microphone's on now. We're coming up. I would like the board to consider a legislative subcommittee. We're coming up to legislative season in January. It is absolutely impossible to get a full board together on language for every piece of legislation that might be getting thrown at this board. And the executive director always gets caught between a rock and a hard place. I'm happy to do that, but I don't want it to be an employment issue when I cut a deal with a legislator on language and the board doesn't like it. So it's always good to have one or two people or three on a legislative subcommittee meeting that I can run stuff by to get an approval. So I don't know if you've had a legislative subcommittee here before.
We really haven't. What we've done before is
subcommittees for other committees.
We've had similar committees on the board called a rules committee, which, you know,
deal with just our rules.
Right, creating rules that are coming up in legislative sessions. So if it was, they're changing caregiver hours or they're changing manager hours, we create that subcommittee, and we've had several of us serve on those committees.
But I think I understand where you're coming from, but I think you're going to be between the rock and the hard place working on.
I'm happy to run point. I don't want to get sideways with this board and anything that happens in legislation. So
are we not able to?
Oh, let's just pull it away. We did that years ago.
Yeah, we've done it before.
Well, yeah, it's been years, but that problem. I will volunteer for that committee.
All right, who else would like to be?
I would.
And you can't. All right, Susan Archer and Ken Kidder, is that enough?
Yep.
All right, then there's your committee right there.
Perfect, thank you very much.
Is that an official appointment?
I guess so, I don't know.
Leave out your resume. I guess so.
Thank you all.
I want to thank all of you for coming. I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday Season. Be safe, and we'll see you the second Monday in January.
To adjourn.
There's no further business. This meeting is adjourned.
Second, third.